Radio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not gonna lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, I got chili for shit.
What?
It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Halloween edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, our friends at UltimateSports.com, and Justin TV. Hopefully everybody is enjoying their big, humongous bowl of candy. The number is always 267-297-1397. You can Skype Sir Rockin' if you want to be on the show at any point. During our second/third hour, depending on how long our first guest goes, former TNA Knockout and currently again a WSU superstar, the one and only Becky Bayless will join us. She's going to be a part of the Crossfire Entertainment event this Saturday in Nashville, and then she's a part of the iPay-per-view, which we'll be talking about in the coming weeks on November the 19th. The top of the second hour, a man who's making his return to our show after a long absence. We hate when some of our friends disappear for a while. He is going to be a part of the debut of Canadian All-Pro Wrestling, which is going to be this Saturday night at the Ross Carrick Community Center in Calgary. Hotshot Johnny Devine will be here with us. The Spud Guy is here as always. Kevin Scott is out with his very special lady friend. So, unfortunately, no Jamal. Before we get into the main news and notes of WWE and TNA, I want to send special wishes. If you're a friend or family member of Barry Windham, you're relieved these days because Mr. Windham unfortunately suffered what they're calling a heart attack this past week. He apparently had a stumble around his property in North Florida. And his real-life brother-in-law, Mike Rotunda, who current WWE road agent and his former tag partner in the WWF of the 80s, found him, and he was rushed to a medical facility. I believe he's still in Orlando. So best wishes to him. And apparently Jerry Briscoe died. Don't tell that to anybody in the world, because JBL on Twitter last week said that Jerry sent him a text spelling Texas T-A-X-A-S-S. So, careful what you read on the internet, cause you never know how true it is. How was trick-or-treating in your neck of the woods, Spug? How big a haul did your little one bring in?
Nothing major, just a small bucket full.
Ah, but how much did you bring in, or did you not partake going, well, I'm getting from my other child, and there is no other child?
No. Spug got Vicodin for trick-or-treat.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I have 6 infected teeth in my mouth.
Oh my god, yet you're here. Well, we'll try to alleviate that. Once Becky Bayless comes on, you can go night-night, because Becky, unfortunately, due to her daytime position in the world, was pre-taped earlier today. So sorry, kids, if you're here going, but I have a question. We asked some really good ones when she's here. We also found out Jacques Rougeau, former WWE star, apparently has prostate cancer. So Make sure you go to your doctor, guys. Definitely, guys. I think once you hit 35, you're supposed to go every 5 years. So I believe he's 51, and they caught it in time. So hopefully, pardon me, he gets everything he needs. Did we partake in the Muppets last night on Raw, or did we watch Ghost Hunters live?
I don't watch Ghost Hunters.
Ah, I found out from Sir Rockin that, if you watch Ghost Hunters, that facility, Pennhurst, is about 20 miles away from you, I think you said last night. And 6 hours of sitting there watching them go, what was that? What was that? So hopefully you got to do that.
It's such an awful show.
It has its moments. Some of the stuff you just sit there and go, yeah, that could be debunked by certain things. And our executive producer is calling from the other room. She was Snow White last night. She had way too much fun in the princess motif. And this afternoon when we came home, she's like, I want to watch Muppets. And I'm like, uh-oh, how does she know the Muppets were on Raw? And then I found out her daycare provider watches NCIS during the day on Monday, and there was the bumper for the Muppets. When we very briefly talked about this last Monday, but your initial reaction when you hear that before you click on Monday Night Raw, okay, so the Muppets are going to be on this show. Do you instantly think car wreck, or do you think, I can't wait to see what the heck they're going to do with some of these guys?
I'm interested to see what they're going to do. Like, the Seamus Beaker segment was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
That was epic. Like, the moment they announced that the Muppets were going to be on Monday Night Raw, I was like, I can't wait to see what they do with Seamus and Beaker. You know, I thought, odd choice to have Santino be like the, you know, the representative of the Muppets, but I guess it works.
If you're creative, who do you pick? I mean, seeing Kara because he's under a hood, maybe? I don't think there's any animated folks.
No, there's no one. They couldn't have picked anybody better than Santino. Like, it was a really good choice. But what struck me odd was that it wasn't like John Cena or, you know what I mean?
No, he was too busy in the main event or making another movie. Which I think is now available on DVD or Blu-ray at your local Walmart. So,
when did he have time to film that?
Who knows? He probably films on his off days. Because the Raw roster, I think, works Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then they do the house shows, that loop, and then Monday they do the live Raw, and then they're done for 3 days. So maybe that's what he's doing. He may have skipped some house shows during there. It looked like it's an indie flick, so it may not be a humongous budget that's like, okay, John, you have to be here every single day.
Right.
Oh, apparently, if you watch Raw tonight, last night, you found out watching the live tour update, everybody's going overseas for 2 weeks, so keep your fingers crossed and no volcanoes or anything erupt or landslides or anything. Couple times ago, they did this little trick overseas and the Raw roster got trapped.
That was the Icelandic.
Yeah.
The volcano.
And they ended up having the SmackDown crew at a cover at the, was Continental Airlines or Prudential, one of those buildings in Jersey. We now have at least two matches announced for this event that's coming up, and we'll have Phil Strum on probably that Tuesday before, since Phil's going. He's going to Survivor Series. We've already got John Cena and The Rock, which opened the show, and dude is ripped again. I guess to play Roadblock in G.I. Joe 2, you've got to be that ripped. Swerve the audience, because he was like, hell no, absolutely not. I'm not going to do it, but I'm doing it for the fans. Did you buy the promo, or are you just sitting there going, well, we already know, dumbass, you're going to team with them. Just get it on.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't even watch the promo. I didn't. I, because You already know. I don't care. It was Rock live via satellite, pre-recorded and edited. And, you know, we already knew he was teaming up with John Cena because it's already, like, the card for Survivor Series, part of it's already been leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And we guessed last week. We were like, well, who? Oh, okay. It's going to be John Cena and The Rock. And it doesn't matter. And the whole, I won't team with him, but I'm going to do it for the fans. No, no, you're not. You're doing it for the six, you know, the six-figure paycheck Vince is giving you to take three bumps and raise your fucking eyebrow.
But that's one expensive eyebrow, man. It is, and that's just amazing, because I'm not sure if he's on an appearance contract, if he's on a Legends deal like Foley is. We've never really gotten to the bottom of that. I'm sure we could sick somebody on that, do some form of investigative journalism there. We also have a new contender to Alberto Del Rio, and I want everybody to not try this at their job, that if something doesn't go your way, do not slap the Anaconda Vice on your boss, because your ass will end up in handcuffs. Apparently for CM Punk, it gets you a shot at the WWE Champion.
It's not going to be a shot at the WWE Championship.
Then what is it going to be for total
he
control
has,
of Monday Night Raw?
No. CM Punk has a match at Survivor Series with Alberto Del Rio. Remember, listen to what Johnny Ace said. If you can get Alberto Del Rio to agree to have a match with you. Now, CM Punk, in his haste and hubris, when he slapped that on, didn't throw the full challenge out. He just said, do I have my match at Survivor Series? And Del Rio said yes. Now, if WWE Creative is smart and wants to swerve and build a little bit of anticipation and have CM Punk chase Del Rio for another couple of weeks to get the final payoff at Survivor Series of the championship match, you have Del Rio mention that next week on Raw.
And Sir Rockin actually has listed on there, WWE Champion Alberto Del Rio will put his title on the line at Survivor Series against CM Punk. The Straight Edge Superstar is getting his rematch, and he's hungry for retribution against the Mexican Superstar. Did that come from WWE.com, Rock? Where did you get that from? He did. That came straight from the website. But that's also the same website that said that The Rock and seeing that we're going to be in a 5-on-5 thing, so who knows.
But, like I said,
it's a great idea. I definitely see where you're thinking.
Pay attention to the wording.
Yeah. No matter what happens, it looks like we're going to have new WWE Tag Team Champions. I thought it was going to happen last night when you had them Air Boom... as they're called, lose to Wade Barrett and the Intercontinental Champion Cody Rhodes. And the reason is because, unfortunately, Matt Corkland, also known as Matt Sydal, also known as Evan Bourne, had a first violation of the Talent Wellness Program, and it went into effect today. So now comes a great question. Do you have the belts? Have them say, well, actually, we'll start it tomorrow. You need to go to work and drop the belts at the in Greenville tonight. There's rumors going around that this possibly has to do with WWE coming down on a test for cannabinoids, also known such as THC. Synthetic marijuana, I believe it's called. K2 is what I researched real quick on this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also apparently a $2,500 fine if you get busted for the doobie snacking or the marijuana. He apparently put on his Twitter, love you guys, I'll be back in a flash, Arab boom will not be derailed. So if you're creative, do you want your WWE pennies, as they look on people, you on your tag team titles sitting dormant for 30 days because you start now, they're not going to defend the belts at Survivor Series. So do you flip them to somebody tonight, and then once Bourne is back, then you got an instant feud, or do you want to keep your belts dormant like that?
I don't know. You got to do something with them. You can't keep them dormant.
But that's the hard part. Now, because I asked Sorokin about this earlier when we were waiting for Becky Bayless to come on to do her pre-tape with us. Who the heck are you going to put them on? Because there's no real established teams. Last night, Barrett and Rhodes just seemed like they were thrown together. You've
got
Swaggy.
Put it on Miz and Truth.
But that comes out of the clear blue tube, but I could see it. Do you have Swagger and Ziggler get them tonight? But now you've got a U.S. champ who's also a tag champ. You run into that issue.
That's why I said put them on Miz and Truth.
So now you have The Rock and John Cena going after the WWE tag team.
No.
Champions. Or they're facing the champions. I'm not saying that they're going to actually get a shot at. Because as we saw on Monday Night Raw, everybody and their cousin had a non-title match. CM Punk wrestled the world champion non-title. Alberto Del Rio wrestled Big Show non-title. The tag championship last night was non-title. I think the U.S. championship was non-title. So it's interesting. You could see some push together teams. Christian, Cody Rhodes. You can put anybody there. Sheamus and Beaker. Why not? They made such a great duo last night. But looking at it overall, do you think that the product was hurt at all by having the Muppets here, or was it just a one-off in a comic book series? It's episode zero. Who cares? It was cool.
It's nothing. What's it gonna hurt? Everybody loves the Muppets. Everybody loves the Muppets. From kids to adults, everybody loves the Muppets. Like, it's not gonna hurt anything.
Were you disappointed that there was no Sweetums or any of the other people like that? Could you have seen somebody in a Sweetums costume come out and actually have a match? Or would that have been a little too hokey?
I think you can take it over the top, because you gotta remember, Sweetums takes three people to run.
Really? There's three situations. I know the face is probably one.
There's a man inside the suit.
Right.
Then there is a individual that controls the animatronics in the face.
Oh, okay.
And then there was another individual that controls the animatronics for the voice.
So whoever's in the suit's not doing the voice on a headset
right,
like we're sitting here with.
Hmm. Right.
Interesting. Did we care for the annual Divas costume thing? Or was that just, okay, you're on TV, have fun, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for partaking in International Dress Like a Whore Day. Now continue.
I'm sorry, when I saw Kelly come out, I was going like, when did you raid Elton John's closet? Holy crap.
Don't you make fun of Elton John, sir.
I'm not, but she just looked like something Elton John would have worn in his prime in the 70s. It was just like, okay, wow.
Honestly, when they came out though, and I know they didn't. I know they went to commercial break. They said they didn't show it all on television. But like every diva should have walked by and kissed Kermit the Frog, and Miss Piggy should have won the battle royal.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
That'd have been funny.
We all called the idea that her and Vicky Guerrero were going to end up hooking up at some point, and Sheamus and Beaker were going to be there. I honestly thought, and it was talked about yesterday before we went trick or treating with some friends, that Statler and Waldorf should have called a match. Just mic the two of them up upstairs in their balcony where they were sitting and just let them go at it. I think Sir Rockin may have joked around about that too on the Wild Talk Radio Twitter account. Oh, they were supposed to call Jim Ross and Michael Cole. Interesting, which got...
Whatever happened to that?
It got cut due to time constraints. I guess some stuff went long. And Ross appearing overseas where they're going to be filming. I think they're going to be in Liverpool is Monday Night Raw, is to be determined. So we'll see. Thanks to Tony Schiavone for returning a tweet that I put out during last week's Monday Night Raw that I had put out. I said, Tony Schiavone cameo. And he said, no, I'll pass. Backstage apparently was former WWE diva and current Luchagor, I believe is the name of her band, Amy Dumas. I don't know if Omega was heard screaming somewhere.
Dumas.
Okay. Apparently Daniel Bryan is going to be running a WWE WrestleMania beard challenge for anybody that wants to join him in growing a beard before WrestleMania. So if you're a fan of Bryan Danielson when he had the big scruffy grizzly redwood looking thing, congrats, you're getting it back apparently. There apparently is, a crime drama been filmed called Bending the Rules about a district attorney who's striving to take on a New York, corrupt New Orleans police detective that's actually played by former WWE star Edge. It was apparently filmed last summer with Jennifer Esposito, Alicia Witt, and Jamie Kennedy. That's going to be released in the first quarter of 2012. He's actually doing pretty good with the acting stuff. I believe he's on a show on Sci-Fi.
He's on Haven.
That's the one. Okay.
It's actually a pretty decent show.
Yeah, from seeing the bumpers when I was watching the Warehouse 13 last couple episodes and saw him there. And I said, man, pretty cool. Nothing wrong with getting the acting thing going. He had a small bit part in one of the Highlander films a couple years back. And it's nice to see him being used. And I'm sure he can pop in and out here and there in the WWE programming. You can actually go again to WWE.com to vote on another WWE television title. They're going to attempt a SportsCenter style show. The five names are WWE Power Center, WWE Action Center, WWE Event Center, WWE Live Event Center, and WWE Interaction Center. Now, I don't know if Sean Mooney is going to come out of retirement or Mean Gene Okerlund is going to host it. But back in the day when you would watch Superstars or Wrestling Challenge, that was pretty cool because you got to have your particular market, be it New York, Cleveland, LA, Philly, Detroit, whatever, highlighted during the program. So this may come in handy for them down the road. So get ready, because that's definitely going to be happening in the next... They haven't given a specific date yet, but it will be interesting. The other 800-pound gorilla in the room that I wanted to address before we went into other areas was, if you were watching that costume event Monday night, a certain blonde was
went through the middle rope
seen, and that would be Maryse Ouellette, as her last name is pronounced. She was released this past Friday by WWE. And she had recently been out due to a hernia and also, unfortunately, a stalker situation. She actually put out on her Twitter, I'm happy, I'm smiling, I'm free, and added she was going to bake a cake and throw a release party in Hollywood. And people were going, wow, how long was she with the company? She had been actually with WWE since 2006. She is 28 years old, around the age of Mike Mizanin. Not sure if Mizanin future endeavored her, because she was released. I sincerely doubt it. She actually was hired around the same time as current diva Rosa Mendez, the Bella Twins, and Layla, who's still out nursing an injury. She'd actually placed 7th overall in that Divas Search competition back then. So she apparently already has her set sights back to modeling, possibly some acting, maybe another appearance in Playboy, who knows. This is interesting to a lot of folks that cover wrestling like I do on a daily basis. WWE is apparently one of the first partners of YouTube's effort to add original premium content. Now remember, Google owns YouTube and apparently is pumping $150 million, yes, use your Austin Powers voice for million, into getting this project off the ground by creating 100 specialist channels for providers who will be paid a maximum of $5 million for their content. The website will then recoup its investments by taking around 50% of all advertising revenue. YouTube is saying that the new channels will start rollout next month or two and will continue over the next 18 months. Other reported content providers include production companies owned by Jay-Z, Ashton Kutcher, Tony Hawk, and Madonna. So if you were looking to watch any matches that somebody loaded up on YouTube, guess what? They're gone. Not a bad idea, though. Why not get into this? Everybody else is on YouTube. Are you a YouTube user, or do you only avoid that site at all?
I'll go on there and look at stuff. I don't post anything on there.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm totally intrigued to see how they're going to pull it off. The fans are all over the place loading stuff. This is funny. This got sent to me by a friend up north. Zack Ryder actually ran into an issue with his Long Island Ice Z show, the Z show, that someone at WWE had it pulled for copyright infringement. Zack Ryder actually wrote on his Twitter, kind of shocked WWE blocked episode 37 of Z Tills, the Long Island story. I figured they kind of liked all the money that they've been getting by putting heads on my videos. So I'm sorry, that's just a little too funny that you block your own guy. Someone sitting in a room going, I don't like that. This is interesting. Also, Mick Foley, we had talked about, Sorokin dropped it on us, that Mick Foley was supposed to be a part of the TD Garden Monday Night Raw, the last Raw before Survivor Series, that Mick Foley was pulled from the advertising. He did, however, release something saying that he will be in New York City over the Survivor Series weekend, that he's going to be doing a post-pay-per-view comedy gig at the UCB Theater, which is about six blocks down the road from Madison Square Garden. Little convenient, isn't it?
He'll be at Survivor Series.
I hope so. I really hope so, because...
If you hear a sudden thunk, Alan.
That's you falling asleep, isn't it?
It's me hitting my, I just took my Vicodin, so.
Okay.
Like, if you hear a sudden thunk, it's not me falling asleep, it's my body going, it's time.
Well, look at that. We'll try to make this as painless as possible. Oh. The bad part is we're going to inflict lots of pain because we're going to talk about some TNA wrestling stuff that's gone on over the last few days.
Oh, no. Right now I'm painless. Right now I'm painless. I have milk and peanut butter cookies and I just took, like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm being asked to dish out ice cream while I'm doing a radio show. Isn't this awesome? Do it. Get one of the two of them to do it. They're sitting in there watching some Grimmy show or something, and I don't mean the dog from Mother Goose.
We talked about this Sunday night, and this is what
it, which part?
About James Storm and Bobby Roode and the title.
Uh-oh. Well, I was kind of going to head there, but I wasn't, because apparently James... has concussion issues. Now, I'm not sure if it's from the result of this past taping that they did in Macon, or it may have come out of his match with Kurt Angle, so...
Well, we weren't really... What we talked about was the fact that over the last year, the TNA title has changed hands four times on free television. and an additional 4 times on pay-per-view.
So do your math, kids. What's Uncle Spug telling you?
That over the last year, that title has changed hands 8 times. That shouldn't happen.
Well, think back for a quick second here. How many times did the title change hands between John Cena and Edge at one point? And I'm not trying to defend what TNA is doing.
But you're also talking about something that happened.
It was like 05, 06, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're talking about 6 years ago. I can kind of see where you're going, but my point is not that it changed hands 8 times in 1 year. My point is that it changed hands 4 times in 1 year on free television. The heavyweight championship of your company should never, ever, ever change hands that many times on free television.
What do you do? You maybe once a year or
twice.
Not even at all. So maybe
twice. Tops.
Okay.
And you save that for extreme situations. You have a wellness policy suspension, or you have an injury. I use the same example I used Sunday night. Del Rio wins the title at Hell in a Cell, right?
Sure.
He gets his arm broken in that melee afterward. Well, now you have a champion with a broken arm. It's going to require him to be out for a month. So the next night on Raw, you hot shot the title. You know, that works. Or you hold the title up. Your title shouldn't change like that. Because it not only diminishes the title, it diminishes your pay-per-view events, because why am I going to buy a pay-per-view to watch a TNA to heavyweight title match when I can just wait and watch the taping the next week? And two, it diminishes the individuals that are wrestling for your title. Because James Storm was good enough to win it on Impact, but Bobby Roode, who you put all that effort and stuff into, wasn't good enough to win it on a pay-per-view?
Brother.
You don't have to keep throwing that in there. We know.
I know, but it's just annoying that I see what you're saying in the effect that it's already known that this Thursday on Impact, there will be a heavyweight championship match between Bobby Roode and the Tennessee Cowboy, James Storm. And if you've already read the spoilers, then you already know what's gone down.
Which is dumb.
Yeah, it's a little on the weird side to have something like that happen. I don't understand it. I'm not even going to try to pretend to understand it. Because I agree with what you're saying, that if Bobby Roode will get the heavyweight championship at some point, why not do it on your biggest pay-per-view? Because Kevin Sullivan, Rock and I joked around about it. A lot of us joked around about it, that Kevin Sullivan, the producer, not the wrestler, of TNA Wrestling, formerly WWE, did some great promos. Those vignettes were awesome. They did them a couple years ago with Jay Lethal, and they were doing them, I think, on the Reaction show. And I remember saying it on the show and saying it post-show. He ain't going to win the damn belt here, guys. This just doesn't smell right. He ain't going to win the belt. And this is going to be like the ultimate letdown. How the hell did we know it was going to be the ultimate letdown?
That's part of the problem, though, Alan. Like, you put all of that build-up and hype into Bobby Roode. You know? And it didn't have to be Bound for Glory. It could have been Turning Point or Lockdown or whatever. But you put all that effort into into Bobby Roode and into him chasing the title and winning the Bound for Glory series at the pay-per-view before and all that. And then, you know, you have that picture of the referee staring at Bobby Roode's arm underneath the bottom rope and Kurt Angle holding on to the middle rope for leverage, which doesn't make any sense because it offered no leverage whatsoever. And, you know, you have that, the referee staring at it. So that's that adds to the cluster. And then you go to the TV tapings that week and with no buildup, no pomp and circumstance, in a 3-minute match, James Storm wins the title. Way to make your title not mean a damn thing.
Yeah, and as we said, as I've said before, and I'll say again, if Angle is as hurt as everyone says he was, why do it there? Why not do it at Bound for Glory? What was wrong with Bobby Roode? And I know I'm repeating myself, and I apologize, fans, for doing it, but why not do this on your? They internally call it. This. They internally say, yeah, to start WrestleMania, Bound for Glory. They said back in 05 when they launched this idea of doing the October pay-per-view as their version of the big show year. Yeah, to start WrestleMania. And for a while there, Bound for Glory was really big. And as I said, it was kind of weird. You know, when we covered it after the event, it was kind of weird. For the first time in a year, Sting wasn't involved in the world title match. Maybe that's why the belt didn't go to him. It is really weird, and no one's going to give me an answer as to why, whether it be Hogan, Bischoff, Russo, Bruce Pritchard, anyone is going to give me a reason as to why, after all this build-up, Bobby Roode wasn't good enough to win on a international scene pay-per-view, but can get a title shot right then and there, but... No, since we are spoiler free, I'll say it in this light. If the title does change hands this Thursday night, what does that feel make your championship that once again on a first title defense by someone, the belt changes hands?
Again.
And it happened with the Knockouts Championship at least two times, at least between Winter and Mickey James.
It's not even that it changed on the first title defense, Alan. Free television. And not just free television. Pre-recorded. Mm-hmm. So that people don't even have to tune into your product. All they have to do is go to an internet dirt sheet and they can find out what happened. You didn't even wait until your pay-per-view this month to book that title match. You did it on another taped Impact. So again, I ask, if you went through all of this and James Storm is your champion, why wasn't Bobby Roode good enough to win it at Bound for Glory? Because you've all the successful buildup you had of Bobby Roode, you've ruined. You have essentially split up one of your most popular tag teams, and you have made your belt look even more worthless now. Like, the only belt in that company that still has any prestige left is the X Division belt.
Yeah,
and I'm sure, give it time, Bischoff will kill it too.
Russo tried a couple of years ago when they had Kevin Nash trying to destroy the X Division where he was brawling with Sabin, and he had Sabin and Shelley, and our guest is going to be on in the second hour of the program. Johnny Devine was part of that whole little clique where he was part of Paparazzi Productions back in the day, and we'll probably ask Johnny about it, being that he was a former X Division star. Oh, it almost feels like certain stars may be looking, Styles may be looking over his shoulder going, you know what, that X Division belt's looking pretty damn good right now.
No, what they need to be doing is looking like rats at a sinking ship going, this is going down quick. We need to get the hell out of here.
Oh, Mace tweeted, Mace put that actually on my Facebook the other day saying that my friend Storm needs to find the nearest lifeboat and get the hell out.
Well, sooner or later, alright. Sooner or later, Spike TV is going to get sick of the programming TNA is offering them and pull the plug on it. I mean, it's just, you can see it coming. And at that point, you're going to have individuals who, you know, Samoa Joe may have been insulted 6 years ago when WWE offered him the Umaga gimmick. And he told them no. But guess what? Last time I checked, 07, 08, he was doing that gimmick in TNA. And I'm almost positive that had Joe gone to WWE, he'd have had at least one WWE title run by now that meant something and wasn't just a, oh, here, we're going to give it to you because the crowd's chanting your name. Oh, look, Kurt Angle, here you go, have the belt back.
I wanted to bring this up because unfortunately I've known James Storm going back to 2001 before TNA ever existed. I'd met him in Nashville when I was living up there, and something made me chuckle the other day. Yes, I said chuckle. And he actually responded to an online report that some people within the TNA offices considered him, quote-unquote, too Southern to represent the organization as the World Heavyweight Champion. I'll read the tweet and everything on the other side of a break. We were going to take a break here just to refresh because I need to get a bottle of water because I'm thirsty as hell. You're listening to All Our World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. We'll be right back.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from its slab began to rise, then suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It
Once upon a time, a radio show began with a couple of guys talking about, well, let's just say, not-so-classy women.
I got a MySpace message. Now, you know that kid that was always here and he put the cigarettes out on his nipples and shit?
Fire nips.
Yeah, fire nips. Well, you remember the girl who showed off her tits to everybody?
Titty Flash.
Yeah. Well, they're on break right now. Well, my ex is now, or was, living with, you know, Titty Flash.
It's fire nips and fire tits, because they don't want to set her.
Yeah, that's true. So it's fire nips and fire tits. Yes,
wait,
we did.
Didn't we set his dick on fire?
Yep.
Fire crotch and
fire tits.
Tits. All right.
Yeah.
So fire dick and fire tits were on a break.
They're on a break. And then, now, see, my ex was living with fire tits. Well, my ex and fire dick had sex at fire tits place last night while she wasn't there.
Almost 200 episodes later, well, this show has what makes you go, holy you-know-what.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can.
What?
Finger down your throat. Oh, man, this is like old times. This is what I needed.
So how many shots do you think you have out now, Ace? About 8 or 9? Oh, here comes the
right now.
Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
Well, Jabber almost fell down his steps, so.
It's only the landing. I got down all the steps you see, but the landing is beautiful. Because it has that turn.
This is how we party on TV radio.
Join us for the 200th episode of CB Radio, otherwise known as Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live November 5th, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Corino. And if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people because you're listening to the online world of wrestling radio with Alan Wojcicki.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful hand in hand. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you around. Maybe.
Welcome back to My Wild Wrestling Radio, Power of the Wild Talk Radio Network, UltimateSportsTalk.com. I'm sorry, I consider Rocky Horror Picture Show just an every day of the year movie. Because you can watch it every day. If you, any city in the United States, somewhere, there is a midnight showing of that damn movie. So that's why I don't consider it just a Halloween movie.
I did Frankenfurter for a while.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's why I said that song's my jam.
That is amazing. I'm just trying to picture you dressed as Frankenfurter right now.
I did Frankenfurter when I was skinnier, and then I did Eddie.
Now, was your Rocky Horror the one that people, when they said Dr. Scott or Great Scott, the people threw the toilet paper? Was it that interactive, a Rocky Horror?
Oh, yeah.
So you had the water guns and the newspaper over your head type thing.
A toast.
Oh, God, and toast, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If you have absolutely no clue what the heck we're talking about, you all need to surrender a man card, because whether you're a madman or not, you at least need, if you've never seen a Rocky Horror Picture Show on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, or never attended a Rocky Horror Picture Show, you must do it at least once in your life. It is an awesome experience. Even though many people will go, it is the worst movie ever made this side of Planet Nine from Outer Space, but it's still...
It really is an awful movie.
Oh, of course.
Like, like the cinematography, like, it is awful, but, like, that's not the point.
Exactly.
We had a girl who was... who's playing Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did the toast scene, she got hit in the eye.
Ooh.
With a piece of toast and ended up having to go and get crumbs removed from her eye. Because they got down in the they got down in the tear duct.
Ooh, I'm sorry to laugh, but that is horrible. I want to finish the point I had made before we went to the break about Tennessee Cowboy James Storm, your current
tweet.
Yeah, your current world heavyweight champion, pending Thursday. He actually tweeted this. Yeah, he actually tweeted this saying, "I think it's awesome that I'm too Southern. It makes me me." So to the people who don't like it, sorry about your damn luck. And a little FYI, it's not too Southern. It's too redneck. And there are beer drinking rednecks all over the world, not just the South. I don't see it that way, that he's too Southern. So what's that? Ron Killings is too black. The Beverly Brothers back in the day were too aristocratically, the British Bulldogs too British. Give me a frickin' break. For wrestling. That's like saying, no, Maurice was too French Canadian. Cause she's speaking French and English, learn it. Am I wrong here? It's a tricky one, I know.
I don't think that he's too Southern. That doesn't bug me one bit. Like, what bugs me is that you have idiots in the front office of that company that are more concerned with that than their company making a buck. You know what I mean?
Or putting over a referee who's never even, you know, just because he's the son of Eric Bischoff, let's close the TV show with him.
Right. Look, yeah. I may be high off my ass right now. I will fully admit that. But Jesus Christ, even in my altered state, I could book TNA better.
I'm sure there's some folks sitting around there going, yeah, he could, definitely. Put your name in there. I'm sure Russo and Lagana and Pritchard and whoever the heck else is involved over there now. I'm sure they're listening. Thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate your business.
And I've gotten a couple of messages from people asking why I'm on Vicodin. And in case I didn't tell you before I started the show, I have 6 infected teeth in my mouth. This is why when your parents tell you to brush your teeth when you're a kid, do it. Because tooth pain sucks.
Absolutely. At least you're not a beast that had your front ones knocked out during a match. So you probably would feel better right now if they were all knocked out.
Oh, dude, I tell you what. I was laying there the other night, and I knew it was time to go to the doctor when I was taking 8 and 9 ibuprofen at a time just to dull the pain. Not make it go away, dull the pain. And I was laying there the other night in bed, and this is before I went to the doctor yesterday. This is like Saturday night or so. And my mouth really didn't hurt. And it was like the first night in a while I was getting some good sleep. It woke me up out of a dead sleep. It hurt so bad. I wanted to bust my own teeth out on my own.
And that's usually his normal reaction from watching TNA TV, kids. Sorry.
Right, well, you know.
For the cheap joke, I apologize, but yeah.
Or listening to the basketball players bicker over a 50-50 split.
Yeah, I believe the season was supposed to have started tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah, like LeBron was saying, oh, I'm supposed to be Madison Square Garden, taking on the Knicks. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, but you're a greedy fuck. So
yeah, you're too busy playing overseas somewhere. They're doing some sort of NBA Stars-like tour.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that like every NBA columnist has talked to 7 or 8 different NBA players, and they're all agreeing on the 50-50 split. And I'm like, you know, the NBA is the only league, the only sports league I know where the players make more of the revenue than the owners do. And not by a slim margin. The current is, I mean, it's a substantial margin.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
I'd rather talk about basketball than TNA.
We're almost done, believe me.
Okay.
As of this moment, your world heavyweight champion, Tennessee Cowboy James Storm, is set to defend the championship at Turning Point. It was supposed to be, I believe it was going to be Bobby Roode, but now obviously at the Macon TV taping that'll air this Thursday, that will go down. The Wicked Witch of wherever the hell she's from, Karen Jarrett, has booked Knockouts champion Velvet Sky against Gail Kim to take place on November the 13th at Turning Point. Definitely an interesting move. I would love to see Velvet go over in this. I know we'll talk TNA pay-per-view next week, and we may end up talking about this match with the WSU ladies that are scheduled to be here next week. We're still ironing out the kinks with which of the 6 ladies that are involved in the main event, the pay-per-view, will be here. It's interesting to see that Gail all of a sudden is just like, I'm gone. Oh, okay. And I knew as soon as I saw that she was doing a shoot with Gabe Sapolsky and WWN Live, whatever they are, I said, The Rock, I said, yep, she's going back to TNA because she's doing this, and this is her one thing, and oh, by the way, she can get paid for doing this, as opposed to talking to us, where, you know, we're not like the Today Show or 2020, one of those that, you know, here's some money, come and do our show, Mr. and Mrs. Madoff. To segue as horribly as I can, if you do watch Ring of Honor TV, you know that Roderick Strong defeated Kyle O'Reilly in a match that looks like it's trying to set up Roderick versus Davey, the ROH World Champion, again down the road. Davey ended up involved in this. Michael Elgin, the other member of the House of Truth. And I'm glad that Truth Martini wears those big, huge glasses, because if you've ever seen him without them, holy God. He looks like Julian Lennon. If you've ever seen pictures of John Lennon's son, Julian, the one with the talent of the two kids, he looks like him. I was like, holy God, dude, put the glasses back on. Your number one contenders to the ROH World titles has changed again. If you last joined us at their last iPay-per-view, the All Night Express actually won a Ladder Wars to become the number one contenders. They got the contract, the face, wrestling's greatest tag team. However, this past TV tape, the Briscoe brothers won the match against All Night Express, so now they're the number one contenders, and I believe, and Rock maybe can confirm or deny this, that title match takes place December 23rd at Final Battle, which I believe is at Manhattan Center, Hammerstein Ballroom, whichever one it is. I can never remember the name of that building. So apparently TV's going really well for them. I'm enjoying the product. It looks a little better. And as we joked around with Nigel McGuinness when he was here a couple weeks ago, I enjoy Nigel being there. It's different than when you had Dave Prazak sitting there, because Dave usually was tweeting during the iPay-per-view. So
I'm going to get to meet Nigel in person on November 17th.
Oh, really? Do tell us. Tell everybody about that.
He's going to be in Massillon for MCW on Thursday, November 17th, as part of his retirement tour, along with Carlito and Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner and Shark Boy.
Excellent.
I'm gonna go down to the show and I'm gonna meet Nigel. I'll be like, so yeah, I'm the Spud guy. You know, Wojcik says hi.
Well, thank you for calling us wankers. We love you too.
Right?
That was awesome. That you're not over in the world until you get called a wanker by a British person, because in our language it means nothing. In theirs, that's another story altogether.
Right?
Yep. Oh, and apparently David Arquette was booted from a dancing show. Good for him. I'm sure he was running around with the WCW World title in his hands.
Hooray.
I don't know. Never watched it. Never care to watch it. I don't get it. If you're like me, this past Saturday at 10 a.m., you were sitting there watching MTV2 going, all right, Lucha Libre USA, what the crap is Reverend Run doing on here? Apparently, Lucha Libre USA once again is running to the, I'm probably the only son of a bitch watching the damn show right now. They're apparently going to start releasing some matches to their Facebook account, and they're working, I'm paraphrasing their recent press release, but their recent press release said something to the effect of, we're working on something. We're going to try to find a better date solution. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I can tell you that sitting at my in-laws Saturday before my daughter's birthday party during the SEC game, which I think was a Vanderbilt game, at least four times, I saw commercials for ROH Wrestling, which was on that My TV or Sinclair Media thing. I can't remember that many times of seeing the ads on Lucha Libre USA.
Well, MTV2 used to be part of the basic package for Time Warner, Comcast, and then the other major one that's the other major cable company in the United States. And they pulled it, and now you have to have digital cable to get it. And so it makes no sense to me that the majority of homes in the United States still are basic cable. They're not digital cable. So, why not put that back? More people will see your product. You wouldn't really have to.
Why not just throw it on MTV on a Friday in between the baby show? I mean, they did pretty decent with Wrestling Society X back in the day. Just throw it in between one of the gangbang shows.
Yeah, but wrestling was at a pitch then. Like, it was at a fever pitch then.
You own
enough channels, throw it on Comedy Central.
Yeah, I mean, it was on MTV Tres, which is their Spanish language version. MTV almost feels like ESPN. I think the joke in the Dodgeball movie was where the Dodgeball stuff was on was the ESPN 8.
In the Ocho.
It almost feels like that with MTV. It's like, hey, look at that. You got MTV. You're not playing music on VH1. You're not playing any music on VH1 Classic. Hooray, look, music. You have Palladia. If you're an HD person, they've got music all over the place there.
VH1 Classic. Music and that metal show.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all it is.
Yeah, every so often they'll be like, look, pop-up video's back. Cool.
They are bringing that back, by the way.
Yeah, wouldn't that be funny to have a pop-up video for like a WWE retrospective type thing on a match? While you're watching the match, you have a little pop-up thing. Like AMC TV did it. They have some sort of...
They do it on Mondays. It's actually really cool. The last movie I watched that they did that on was Top Gun.
Yeah, I saw it with one of the Matrix films when I was trying to do some stuff. And I was like, oh, look at that. It's director's commentary without it.
Right. It's all kinds of nifty little facts about the movie and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, but I'm saying do that for WWE back in the 80s. Do it for something like The War to Settle the Score with Piper and Hogan, or Superfly Snuka and Don Morocco, where he leaps off the cage. Something along those lines it may work for. I'm not saying don't put it on Melina versus Alicia Fox.
Speaking of horrible segues.
Oh, go for it.
You brought up War to Settle the Score and wrestling in the 80s. You're a boxing fan, correct?
To a degree, yes. I'll watch. If there's good, I'll check it out.
Did you watch the 30 for 30 last week about Chuck Wepner?
No, I did not. It's in my DVR that the real Rocky.
Yeah.
It's just folks will know it as. He's loosely, the Rocky Balboa character is rumored to be based on him, whether or not Stallone will ever admit to it.
The funny thing is, alright, you remember in Rocky, I think it's Rocky 1, Thunderlips?
He's in 3.
Alright, 3. I can't remember which Rocky it was, but.
Yep, he's in the one with Mr. T, his club, where he was Club of Lang.
But when he fought, when Rocky fought Thunderlips, you know that was taken from a real life event?
Yeah, believe it or not, fans may not even know it. I'm not old enough to remember it, but.
Andre the Giant fought Chuck Wepner.
Yeah, I believe it was on the Inoki, was it the Inoki Ali things? Vince McMahon, there was notes about that that got sent to the Vince McMahon. Appears in that 30 for 30, or that ESPN film.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think they actually showed the fight itself on after that thing. They showed snippets of him and Muhammad Ali going at it.
Well, the Ali fight took place at the Richfield Coliseum.
Oh, really?
Or it was either in the, yeah, I think it was the Richfield Coliseum, or it was downtown Cleveland, but it took place in Cleveland. His title fight, but they also showed the footage from the match fight between Wepner and Andre the Giant too. Like they're showing testimonials from Wepner and stuff from Stallone, and they talk to Hogan a little bit. And like, you can't not look at the stuff from Rocky and draw an absolute parallel to real life in Chuck Wepner and Muhammad Ali. It's impossible. You know that it is based directly off of that.
Oh, I'm sure everybody steals from everybody in real life. That's the amazing part. And if you haven't seen it, I'm not sure if you, I think ESPN On Demand, there's an on-demand thing somewhere in my tier of services every time I turn
you
around.
You can watch it online, I believe.
Oh, cool.
Usually ESPN's website will have the, it's not ESPN, it's like ESPN3.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's the one. You can get it from your provider. You can watch out-of-market games and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you can watch all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I want to let everybody know, don't forget Becky Bayless will be joining us in a little while to talk about Crossfire Wrestling's event on November the 5th. We are waiting on Hotshot Johnny Devine to join us. He is doing personal training in his off time when he's not training to kick people's asses for a living. Before he gets here, I want to let everybody know this is the way that you can find out about this event that is known as Onslaught. It will be this Saturday at the Ross Carrick Community Center, which is 4411 Southwest, 10th Avenue Southwest. You can go to CanadianAllPro.com, which is a beautifully done site by our man, Sir Rockin, who does everything around here. Johnny Devine is a part of this event. Other matches announced. Pistol Pete Wilson's going to take on Mike Briggs. Sydney Steele will take on Slammer. That's everything, including writing tips. let me make sure I don't butcher this name too bad. Steven Styles is going to take on Kishi Matsunaga. Also, the Asian Assassin Kato will take on Emin Inferno. And the All-American Steve Rivers is scheduled to appear. Tickets can be bought at the door, or you can actually order them in advance through 403-774-8629. All fans are strongly urged, to bring a non-perishable food item for Calgary's Interfaith Food Bank, which is always a good thing to do. I've seen it down here in the Tampa area. Metropolitan Ministries always has stuff at Tampa Bay Lightning hockey game, so that usually is a great thing for fans to do. I've seen some indie shows do it where they'll collect Toys for Tots is another good one. that hopefully will get seen. I need to make note while we're waiting for Johnny Devine. Unfortunately, due to my daughter's birthday, I did not attend this year's Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup. So if you listen to the show, I know April Hunter was a little ticked. She's like, we live in the same damn area. Yeah, this is normally, you told me, dude, this is your event. This is your event. And you didn't make the event. A.R. Fox, indie star, is your 2011 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup winner. You can go to Full Impact Pro's Facebook page, and I believe it's fullimpactpro.com. That event may or may not appear on the WNN Live website, which is Sal and Gabe's version of Go Fight Live. While we're waiting for Johnny, go ahead and give that information. You said that event is on the 17th. That you're going to run into Nigel.
There's
a lot of big stars.
There's three events right in a row.
Is it like consecutive Thursdays or?
No, it's the Thursday night. There's an event on a Thursday night, and then we're in Cincinnati on Friday, and then we're back at the WrestlePlex and Alliance on Saturday. Like it's I'm trying to go to Facebook to pull it up for you right now. Oh my god, excuse me.
That's okay. I do that all the time. Usually it's with somebody sitting next to me going like, "What the hell, dude?"
Thursday, November 17th, at the Massillon Rec Center. $20 VIP includes 6 p.m. Entry and meet and greet, Nigel McGuinness, Carlito, Big Papa Pump, and Shark Boy among the names there. Then I don't know, I don't have a card for the Friday show yet in Cincinnati.
What's the company's web? Is it mcwpro.com?
Yeah, mcwpro.com will have all the info you could ever want.
Oh, there it is. I got something about it the other day. There's a Vans presale for the event. Massillon Mayhem? Is that how it's pronounced?
Massillon,
I'm sorry. Yep, there it is. No, that will be interesting. I did not know that BJ Payne will be in here. He was with WWE Developmental. Do you know this gentleman by chance?
No, I don't.
Oh. Yeah, so definitely check that out. Go to MCW Pro. We may end up having Shasta on over the next couple weeks to talk this event out with us. The girls being on from WSU, honestly, depends on their real-life schedules.
I definitely wanted to have Shasta on the week of that event.
Oh, absolutely. I'm actually liking having him around. He comes off as a very nice person.
He is. He's a really nice guy. Just don't piss him off.
Or he'll kick us in the face. Actually, he probably won't kick me in the face. He'll probably throw me through a damn table and say, "And you like it?"
Yeah. I tell you what, training Sunday was quite the departure from the norm.
Is this while the teeth are hurting or before or after the teeth are hurting?
Oh, while the teeth are hurting. And I told Rock this Sunday night. Sunday at training was like one of the only times that my teeth didn't hurt. So it was nice because, you know, all the endorphins and stuff. But, he's weeding them out, let's just say. Like, our class ballooned up to, oh, God, I think one Sunday we had 16 or 17 people there. And then this Sunday we had 7.
I want to drop this on everybody because this may actually come to fruition. I'm really hoping if I work it right. We had Howard Brody and Vito DiNucci on a few weeks back to talk about NWA Ring Warriors inaugural brawl, which is Wednesday, December the 14th at the Fort Lauderdale National Guard Armory. They had talked about some of the talent being a part of that event, and they have released some more names that are going to be involved in this event. Your current NWA World Tag Team Champions, which are the Dark City Fight Club, Corey Chavis and John Davis, are going to be defending the championships against, I can't believe I'm about to say this, and hopefully my wish comes true, and they're going to be guests on this show, D-Generation X members Billy Gunn and X-Pac.
I wouldn't mind having Billy Gunn. I don't have anything. I never liked X-Pac. I never liked Sean Waltman.
What, just wrestling-wise, or is overall?
Overall. He just comes across as a weasel.
Hmm. Well, if you check out the You Shoot with China, I'm sure she may or may not agree. Also want to let you know our former guest, NWA National Heavyweight Champion Chance Profit, will be defending the championship that night. He will take on the Tokyo Monster, Cahagas, in what looks to be a very hard-hitting matchup. The pairings for the tournament have been announced, and the eight that exist are former FCW developmental talent, and that would be Wes Briscoe is going to take on former NWA Florida Heavyweight Champion Steve Moose Madison. Former TNA star Cassidy Riley will take on Francisco Chiazzo. JD Maverick is going to take on the Marquis Bruce Santee. And the 7-foot giant Titan will take on the Shooter Wardell Walker. So you can actually go to NWARingWarriors.com to check that out. And I'm not stalling for time, but I saw that pop up on my thing. I was like, oh, crap, I forgot that.
It's okay. We can stall for time because I'm pretty sure he's not here.
No, he's actually just hit me a... No, I'm not stalling. Give me a break, Rock. He just jumped on Facebook and he said on Skype in a sec, he's having login issues, just like I do on my laptop. So that's why I'm doing this on two laptops tonight. Two laptops, ha ha ha.
That's fine. That'll... Well, you two gentlemen are talking. I'll take a nap.
Yeah, don't forget, as I said, NWARingWarriors.com is where you can find out all the information for that really cool event. We may end up having Uncle Howard, as he's referred to by a lot of the former NWA Florida talent. We may have him back on in the coming weeks to set that event up. And who knows, maybe the tweeting gods will work in my favor and some other folks will come along in that endeavor. Don't forget, you can go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com, I believe is the site, and you can vote for us. You can vote for Wrestle Talk Radio as well. I think both shows are way better than anything else you're going to find out there.
Forget Wrestle Talk Radio. Just vote for OWW Radio.
Okay, fine. Vote for us. And you can vote for anything. You can go as far back as January when we had George Animal Steel on.
Vote for Jessica Havoc, Female Interviewer of the Year, or she's going to punch me in the face.
Yeah, but you may want her to punch you in the face right now, the way your teeth feel, my friend.
Mm-hmm. No. No, I'm good right now.
All right, tell you what, we're going to take a quick time out here so everybody can go have a smoke break. We will hopefully be joined after this break by the one and only Hotshot Johnny Devine, Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. We'll return in a moment.
Takes its toll, but listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Doing the crime war, drinking, oh, smoking, swim.
just a jump to the left. Slip your hands on your hips.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Candice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wolf and Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While WrestleTalk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for WrestleTalk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up, because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online Wrestling... Shit, I'm sorry. What is it? It's Online World of Wrestling Radio. All right. This is Jessica Havoc, and you're watching Online World of Wrestling Radio, and if you don't listen, I'm... Shit. All right, let me try this. This is going to be it, you guys. You ready? This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online World Wrestling... Shit. Okay, I'm just going to try and slow it down for a second. Okay. This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Online World of Wrestling Radio... And if you don't listen to this, then you're a loser, and I'm going to kick you in the face.
5 minutes.
We'll be right back.
back to a post-hangover edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's another one, not really a Halloween song. People watch Ghostbusters around this time of year, and you know, since we were joking around about the VH1 and the pop-up video crap, I did not know until I saw the pop-up video for that song that Huey Lewis actually sued Ray Parker Jr. because he claimed that that song was a ripoff of his 80s hit, I Want a New Drug. So if you're ever bored, find I Want a New Drug, and then listen to Ghostbusters, and maybe you'll understand the meaning of Dark Side of the Moon back in the era. The Spud guy is toughing it out here with his medication in hand.
It's okay. She's tough. She's a harbor chick.
Tremendous.
As we mentioned, the debut of Canadian All Pro Wrestling takes place this Saturday night at the Ross Carrick Community Center. And who better to have on than, no, not Tim Stein, because Tim is not feeling well. He's under the weather, too. The headliner for this event, former TNA wrestling star, he is a great friend of our network here. He was a one-time guest on here and got into it with some people that are so far gone down the slope they can't even be found without those little dots that they were walking around on Ghost Hunters last night. Hotshot Johnny Devine is here.
Apparently I don't watch Ghost Hunters enough. I missed
the You're dance. Not another one either. They did last night for the live thing. My wife was watching. We took the kids trick-or-treating and we came back, so we were 2 hours behind on the live thing, and my wife went to Sci-Fi's website, and they had, like, if you remember the movie Aliens, where they had the little box in their hand and they knew how many meters it was till the aliens were in the room, they had something like that for every member of the Ghost Hunters staff. So they were in whatever room in Pennhurst State Hospital, you could go, oh, okay, that's Grant, that's Jay, that's the dog, that's, and I'm not kidding, they really now have a dog named Maddie that goes around with them and,
all right,
and does stuff. So, fans have been clamoring for this because they were like, the last time he was here, he got yelled at, and then the time before, and then he came on and he was a part of your botched Indie Stars night that went horribly wrong and we'll never do that again. As opposed to having, you know, Eric Walker dominate a show, we actually just decided, hey, we'll have Johnny on, to talk with us. If you're in the wildtalkradio.com chat room, he may be logging on in there to bother you. And as he's one of the few that's allowed to mispronounce my name and do it on a regular basis. Cause if you ever hung out with us in TNA back in the Orlando days, no matter what time of day, and people thought you did not like me. And it was just like, cause they're like, that son of a bitch, somebody said it to me, it's like, that son of a bitch gets your name wrong every time he sees you. And I'm like, you don't get it. That's
my gimmick.
Rib.
That's
the rib that everybody's like, and that was the endeavor originally for when I became the solo, the solo figurehead of this program, and I'm not just the host because Spug is here every week, Kevin Scott's here every so often, and we have tons of guest contributors that we love to have. Mace, when he's not off working for the government, is there. So yeah, Steve Carino did it on a thing. We met everybody's made fun of me at one point or another. The biggest thing that came out of some emails that we got from folks was what have you been up to lately? Is this Canadian All Pro event your first time back in a ring in a while, or have you? Been wrestling these days?
Western Canada. I'm back living in Calgary now, taking care of some family business, all that kind of good stuff. But enjoying my time in Calgary. Still working from time to time, but I'm really select about my bookings. I just want to have some fun with it for a while, because it had been, you know, such a, like when it's an all consuming passion and it's everything that you do, it's hard to have a life around it. So I'm really working on my life around wrestling right now and, just taking spot bookings here and there. So I was working, you know, for PWA Wrestling last year and stopped working for them in September, and then have worked for Stampede since. I've worked for a couple of promotions in Winnipeg since, Steel Town Pro Wrestling in Winnipeg, and just kind of filling my time with stuff I've always wanted to do, you know what I mean? So I've had a good couple of years of sitting back, went back to school, took broadcasting, learned all the kind of stuff I need to make a TV show of my own. And I'm working on putting together a new show with some people out here in Calgary that might surprise some people out there.
You were doing some stuff with Fight Network, I believe. Was that, was that fun for you to do? Was that something
you were sitting there going,
sign me now, damn it.
No. I was loving my time at Fight Network. I was there, I was wrestling analyst with John Pollock, who hosts The Law, with Wei Ting and all that. We were doing, you know, analysis of pay-per-views and television and, doing blogs and all that kind of good stuff as well. I was editing a couple of shows like Danny Dyer's Deadliest Men. I put together the Best of Ring of Honor, series that they put out there. So I put together all the, I think it was 52 episodes of that show. So that was a lot of fun, like learning the, you know, the editing process, the production process, the producing, excuse me, I need to drink water, the producing side of things, was really a great learning experience. They've got a great team of guys there who are really, really helpful and just very supportive and really talented. And it's interesting because they're going to do, you know, more and more business as, you know, the MMA and, fight quote unquote game grows. You know, they're just going to keep doing more and more business and they're going to get to that stage. Like they will. It's an eventuality. People are going to be into the sport enough. You know, there's an NHL channel. There's an NFL channel. There'll be an MMA channel. You know, it's inevitable that they're going to do so well that it's going to catch on more in the States.
Now, we thought Spug and Mace are big MMA fans, and for fans that are listening, they for the first time they do an event sometimes on the UFC and Strikeforce events, called From Tapouts to Knockouts. And a while back, I believe it was the G4, the Game Network, or one of those networks. It was rumored that UFC was gonna buy it and then turn it into that kind of thing. Because it's so funny, because you heard Triple H a while back. We talked about it here on the show since you brought up an MMA thing. When you hear someone like Triple H saying that, you know, we as WWE, we don't have to change, but they have to change. And recently, I believe it was Kael Sonnen, Spug, did I make it the name of the guy wrong?
Yep.
That cut the promo wanting...
Kael Sonnen.
Yeah, he wanted the title shot. I guess this past UFC event, the same type of thing happened. Somebody else cut one of those things.
Yeah, so
it's
eventual, man. They have to embrace the showmanship side of what they do if they're going to succeed as a company and as a business and create superstars. And it's so funny. I'll tell you a really great road story after this. So don't let me forget to tell you my Miami Beach road story. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't adapt to that fact, they're always going to only get half the audience they could, because they have to draw more as far as a casual viewership goes. And to do that, they've got to make people want to see other people fight. And to do that, you have to use emotion. You can't be a gentleman all the time. You can't, you know, always be respectful. There have to be guys that dislike each other. And, when that happens, when the dislike is real, whether it's fictitious or not, I mean, Rampage is great at creating the sense of dislike. People will tune in. People will buy those pay-per-views. That's what they have to do. And they're realizing it now. And a lot of the guys are realizing it, like Chael Sonnen gets it, right? You cut that one, you know, wrestling style promo and all of a sudden he's one of the most popular guys on the planet.
But didn't Brock get busted for this a couple of years ago? Or I think he flicked off Dana White and made fun of the beer sponsor.
Yes, there's taking it too far, which is kind of what he did in that instance. But at the same time, Brock also gets it and cultivates his badass persona and his douchebag persona. You know, he cultivates that so he knows he's a draw. He does, absolutely, because his team is with him going, you know, yeah, you're a nice guy, but, you know, if you're an asshole, you're worth more money, right? And he realizes that's why he's a million buys every time.
That's just weird, because we just saw this past week, and I forgot to mention it during the WWE news, that I believe it was the Night of Champions event didn't even break out of the low six figures, and that was, it was supposed to be a really well done pay-per-view. There's people that say this, like, oh, Vince isn't worried. I guarantee you, Vince and anyone around Vince right now with a grain of salt for a brain is sitting there going, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Ours are going down and theirs are really going up. I mean, what is the formula here?
Theirs have steadily gone up over the years, and it's because they offer fights people want to see. First and foremost, unfortunately, you're going to have a situation in UFC, much like you have in boxing right now, that they can't offer the one fight that everybody wants to see in George Silva versus George or St. or Anderson Silva versus George or St. Pierre.
It'll happen eventually.
Mayweather, if you go to boxing at some
that
point,
fight,
that's like the ultimate money fight.
Yeah. Well, it'll
fight,
happen.
Johnny, will never happen.
Oh, it will.
No, it won't. And I'll tell you why. Because,
sure, go ahead.
And I'm not trying to insult you, so.
Nope. Go ahead. You're good.
You're looking at least 1 year between either one of their last fight in their respective division for them to either move up or move down.
Oh, absolutely. You know, because one of them's got to either cut or add weight. I get that.
Right.
But, you know, technically, actually, St. Pierre walks around at around 190.
Yeah, I mean, it would be easier for St. Pierre to go up. I mean, he walks around like 192, 190.
What they could probably do, since it won't be like a unification, it's just a dream match, what they would do is they would make a catch weight of, like, you know, let's call it 195, where Anderson would have to drop like 5 pounds and George would have to gain 5, you know? And then we meet in the middle, and all of a sudden you have a 2 million buy pay-per-view.
That fight, the catch weight, I mean, Mace and I have kicked around the idea of the fighting at a catch weight, but you won't see that fight happen
because you're so wrong. Because think about it. How many buys does a George St. Pierre fight get now?
Oh, no, dude, St. Pierre's one of my favorite fighters, and I would love to see that fight happen, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to deal with Chael Sonnen whooping the shit out of Silva.
Hey, if that happens, you know, all power to him. I think it's going to be a great fight, and I honestly can't call a winner in that one because I really like both of those guys. But my point here is this. St. Pierre is a million buys. Anderson Silva and someone beating him is a million buys. People are begging for someone to beat Anderson Silva, right? He is the top heel in the company, we'll call it, okay? So, at this point, if you can get the top babyface in George Rush St. Pierre against the top heel in Anderson Silva as a dream matchup, absolutely you do it. Because Dana White isn't an idiot. It's a money matchup. And I guarantee that's an almost 2 million buy pay-per-view.
Oh, I'm not saying he is an idiot, and I'm not saying he wouldn't try to find a way to make that fight happen. But I personally don't think we will ever see that fight happen.
There's too much money involved in it for it not to happen.
That's like Pacquiao-Mayweather.
Look at
Pacquiao-Mayweather.
Look at how much money. Look at how much money could be made off of that fight, and it's not happening.
Yeah, it almost goes back to, like, if Tyson hadn't gotten a crap kicked out of him by Buster Douglas back in the day, Tyson's in his prime, and you put him in with Holyfield, you put him with Lennox Lewis, that's the money thing there. Mm-hmm. And that's the obvious goal of UFC. Look, I mean, on the 12th, they're going to have a live event on Fox National Television with their current heavyweight champion, Velasquez. Is this Velasquez's first match since he got jacked up in his match, and he's taken on Dos Santos? Is that the gentleman's name?
Yeah.
Junior Dos Santos. And he's never defended the heavyweight title, which he's held that thing for over a year, and he's not defended it once.
Since he took the belt off of Brock.
Yeah, and that bugs me. That bugs me because, honestly,
when Brock went out with diverticulitis the first time, they made an interim champion. But they didn't do it with Cain Velasquez.
Looks like we got someone on the line. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. It's Jim Barcelone calling.
Damn. Jim Barcelone of the Miami Herald is here with us. You've got Hot Shot Johnny Devine on with us tonight, too. How you doing?
How are you, Jim?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very well.
All right. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. If you're just joining us and you've never listened to the show, Jim Barcelone is a journalist based out of the wonderful Miami Herald paper. Scott Fishman, who's also a part-time contributor to us, also contributes there. We were talking about the, we've been talking some UFC with Johnny because he's done some stuff for Fight Network back in the day. In your media contacting, this event that's going to take place on the 12th with, Dos Santos and Velasquez, can't be any bigger score for UFC to now be on a national television market. Granted, it's not NBC, ABC, or CBS, but it's still one of the big four.
Very big four.
Could they get any better in this market here? I mean, Rupert Murdoch's got like endless purse strings that you can use here.
Very big for the market, very big for the sport. It's even when TNA was in their infancy stages, the big thing was we got to try to get a TV deal, we got to try to get exposure that way. Any company that's doing anything, that's what they want, that's what they're striving for. And Dana White turning around that whole company, I mean, the story behind that is unbelievable, what he was been able to do. And now this is their next step. This is their next big evolution, so to speak, of this whole company. And to see them do that, it just says a lot for what Dana White and his group of people have been able to do. And this is where they want it to go. And where we'll go from here, we'll see. But this is a really giant, it's risk, but it's also, there's a big light at the end of the tunnel too, if they can make it. But as you saw with even going back in the day to ECW, when they got that TV deal, it just wasn't about getting the TV. Sure, that's what they wanted. That's what the key thing is, to get the TV deal. But you've got to elevate it and start making more money and getting more exposure.
And that's absolutely important. Absolutely right.
Yeah, so basically that's the way I'm viewing this whole new venture, this new area for UFC. But you know what? There's so many cable channels, and there's so many different ways to watch TV nowadays. The thing that I find really interesting is when you look at ratings and shows that have been on, we'll take the wrestling, for instance, and you say, oh, gosh, look, they're drawing threes and twos and ones, and that's awful. I remember back in the day when they were drawing five, six, and seven. But, gosh, you got to think about it. Look at all the TV channels that are out there now. There's so many, not only that, there are so many different ways to watch TV now. Who knows how many people are TiVoing their television shows, and how does that work when it comes time for doing the ratings and all? So now when you get like a Spike TV and they're happy with a one rating for their wrestling show, and people are saying, oh, well, look at TNA, they only did a one rating, and Spike TV is like, whoa, this is great. And who's paying the bill? Spike TV. So Spike TV's happy with the one. That's really what matters. So the way the ratings are nowadays, it doesn't take a lot of ratings to make the TV station and the cable network happy. But what it takes is just being something visible on their programming. Now, I don't know what, for UFC, what the envision is here of what rating they must get to be successful, to be happy. But I don't see it as being like, oh, they've got to be like American Idol or the dancing show, whatever, and they have to score numbers like that. It doesn't happen nowadays. You don't have to score great numbers like that to be successful.
Since we've had both of you on here, the WWE Network thing's going to be coming out in the next few months, and I'm glad Jib is here because I wanted to pick his brain on this idea. We've heard recent rumblings they're going to do like a Legends Big Brother type thing. With the success of HBO leading into big money fights, they've done so-and-so, so-and-so, 24/7. Would that be something as a fan you'd be interested in seeing for a WWE thing, like going into WrestleMania or going into a big money pay-per-view, seeing a kayfabe type thing of them training for it and them going through that? Would that be of any interest to any of you, or is that just that it works better for boxing and MMA?
I think, Tom, I'll go first, I guess, in this. I think it works better for MMA and boxing only because, you know, the match results are predetermined. And I think, didn't TNA sort of try something like that? I mean, it wasn't totally like that, but didn't they try something like that where you went behind the scenes, so to speak? And, yeah, we know it was still part of the whole shtick, but they tried something like that, and it didn't really do anything. Anyway. I mean, I just think for boxing, for MMA, I think it works a little better, maybe a lot better, just because you're building up the fight, and then it's what's the result going to be, where with the pro wrestling, you try to do that. It's like, okay, yeah, they're getting ready to do this. Okay. Maybe if they took it to a different extreme where they show, they're not showing the actual script of what they're going to do and who's going to win, but actually showing them talking backstage to Triple H and the agents and people like that, and maybe go that direction, let people inside even a little more. Heck, we're already inside a lot anyway. Let them know more. Maybe that would be interesting.
That has to go the opposite way. That's what that needs to do.
And Paparazzi Productions can film it.
Well, no, we need to start pulling the curtain back again and starting to hide certain things again. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where, you know, the magician's revealed all of his tricks.
Yeah.
You've got to pull out a whole new bag. Where are you pulling this new bag from, right? And you know, people are leaning towards, you know, bigger and crazier stunts. And I don't know if we remember a guy from Kemper Arena who died, or from Calgary who died in Kemper Arena. But, you know, the bigger the stunts, the higher the risk. And I don't think it needs to go that way. I think it needs to go the opposite way.
Do you think with the way the internet is, and just that this generation is just so social media, so internet, Facebook, Twitter, going there, that it's hard to do that with the younger generation to sort of try to, I mean, back in the day when you can do things like that, I couldn't jump on the computer and get results already or find out what's going on behind the scenes. There were a few newsletters out and that was it. But it just seems that I understand what you're saying, and I think I like what you're saying. But I think it's so much harder to try to do that, even if we did try to pull the curtain back a little more.
Yes, but that ultimately comes down to the offices and the boys, because nobody can kayfabe better than them, and that's supposed to be part of, you know, their training and what they're brought up on. You know, that's part of the reason why you see so many failures of the young class of guys, with, you know, getting caught saying stupid things on Twitter, you know, doing all this stuff and getting caught and being out there. Like, there was a time when you didn't know the private life of Ric Flair and he was a superstar, but now everybody knows every sort of detail about him. And, you know, that comes with star status. Absolutely. But at the same time, you know, it's gotten to the point of, you know, him so well that when you see him, you know, unless you're an old school guy like us, the young kids nowadays, when they see him on the street, don't treat him with the reverence and the respect they used to, because he's lost that superstar status, because everybody knows everything about everybody. There's the aura is no longer there. The curtain has been pulled back so far, we have removed superstar status. Hulk Hogan was Superman at one point because he had an aura about him, and he maintains that aura still. There's the air of secrecy there. You never know whether he's bullshitting or it's the truth, but, you know.
Hold on a second.
This just in, according to Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant now weighs 2 tons when he body slammed them at WrestleMania.
758 pounds.
I have to ask Jim a question before I go back into my Vicodin stupor.
Oh, God.
So, in 4 years, Jim, when the Denver Broncos come back to Pro Player Stadium, are we going to have another Tim Tebow Appreciation Day?
By that time, we will be turning to our attentions to celebrating the Miami Heat finally winning that world championship, and they will have them coming to the Joe Robbie Stadium. I'm going with the official name, the man who built the stadium without using taxpayer money back in the day, before the name has been changed 25 times already. And by the way, next month it'll be Soccer Locker Stadium. Just wanted to throw that in since we have such a big soccer base down here, so that'll happen. Or Manchester United will buy the naming rights to it. So I think that's what maybe will happen. We're not going to get all into that, but I have to say, just what a fiasco. Bring back Don Shula, please.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up something. Johnny brought it up here a few weeks ago. I was able to review a copy, and if you haven't gotten it, fans, Google it, go to Amazon, find Memphis Heat, the true story of Memphis wrestling.
Oh, great.
They brought it up in the DVD that back in the day when they were really running heavy, when it was Ghoulish Welsh and then it was Jerry Jarrett, Jerry Lawler that were doing the thing, they were running that whole Mid-South loop, and they honestly said, no, fans in Memphis didn't talk to fans up in Evansville, or even fans as far 4 hours away in Nashville didn't talk, and the fans, Jim Cornette, I think, said when we had him on that he would maybe trade newsletters and whatnot, but that stuff wouldn't work now. The old FCW loop that Jim may have been a part of, where they would play on Monday night or whatever night used to be Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Right, you're right. Monday in Miami, that's it.
Yeah, because when we had Howard Brody on, we had talked about it too, that unfortunately that territorial type thing, because of people like our show, and I'm going to bash myself, yes, I was guilty of it from 02 to 07. I was your spoiler guy. I was your dealer for TNA Wrestling. No, that's never gonna happen again.
I'm shaking my fist at you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Now, the spoilers helped ruin this whole thing too. No offense to you, because everybody was doing it. It was just like, why do you want to know the results before watching the show and enjoying it? I always enjoyed watching it without knowing the results. But anyway,
That's a tool that a smart booker would use to his advantage. Knowing that people are going to put the results out there, you can create a lot of questions and interest with people knowing the results early, but not knowing the why, right? And a smart writer and booker for shows would use that to his advantage.
He would have to, because all that stuff was getting out there. And that's the thing. Like, Alan, what you were saying about, like, back in the day, the fans wouldn't know. Well, heck, now I could talk to somebody from Okasawa or someone from Liverpool. I can go on there right now and I could, hey, you just had, WWE was just in your town. Hey, what happened? And I could find all this stuff out. It's just it's the way technology has changed everything. And technology has just changed everything. And it just goes toward everything. So it's hard to the original question or the original point. It's hard to do. It's hard to keep that curtain closed where you could still have some mystique back there, just because there's so much out there on the internet. And even like you said about the boys and all doing their tweets and everything
and that's,
stuff like that.
And that's the line, right? See, that's where the line has to be drawn. Knowing the results of shows is all well and good. It's when the stars come down and mingle with the common folk, quote unquote, that you lose the shine on the star. Yeah, now you're just a regular guy.
Yeah, and I can testify to it from having hung out with Johnny at after TNA events, and it's the classic example. Fans that live in the Orlando area know where the TNA guys used to go back when you were working there.
Yeah.
Everybody went over the damn alehouse, and people were sitting there, and they were coming up with tons and tons of crap for everybody to sign, and they're seeing the heels and the faces sometimes intermingle in that situation. Eddie Graham, to use a Florida thing, or even, the legendary Stu Hard would be sitting there with a switch in his hand going, get your ass over there. You were never booked as a heel or a face to travel anywhere near each other, or you ended up like Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the Iron Sheik did back in the day.
Well, exactly. And that just takes a little bit of knowledge for guys to be taught again, but there's only a select few places you can learn from guys who can teach you that anymore.
I think what else they could do, which I got a chance to see the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels Greatest Rivalry DVD, and in there when some of the stuff was going on before Montreal and Bret lost the Iron Man match, and Shawn was like saying, "Why is he still in the ring? Get him the heck out of the ring!" Da 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 da. I got a whole big deal, and then Bret got out of the ring. It was a long match and went back so Shawn could celebrate. And then there was like, oh, is there friction there? And then Bret doesn't show up the next night. And And he, Brett and Sean talk about it, and Brett said, we're building up this thing, and all of a sudden Owen calls me the next night, and Owen says, Brett, listen, what's wrong? Are you mad? Is everything okay? Now, this is everybody, all the boys in the back are saying, what's wrong with Brett? Is he okay? And he's like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, there's all this out there that you're mad. Sean said this in the ring, and you're mad, and you're upset, and now you're, this is getting out of hand, et cetera. And he's like, that's what they think? That's, hey, just play it up. Play it up. Brett was like, he's saying, I see more money with this. Let all the boys think that too. Good. All the stuff that gets out there on the sheets and all this other stuff will be like, oh, Brett's mad at Sean and there's this thing going on and it's, you know, worse than just inside the ring. And he's like, yeah, this would be great. Just tell him I'm mad. Tell him I'm mad. And he's like, you know, it's all part. He says, you know, if we could do more of that and stuff like that, which they could do. I mean, they could do that today. Even with all these different internet and all these different people talking and watching and seeing, just have everybody be fooled, even everybody in the back be fooled.
Well, wasn't that for a while WWE was going to do that? They were going to tell storylines or have the TNA, the WWE talent to all have the social networking thing going, that they were going to play through Twitter or some stuff. I mean, they just did an angle where Eve Torres stole Beth Phoenix and 99 Hearts' car. and that made it on, and now it's on, eventually with this whole ancillary thing going to YouTube and working with them, you could do something like that where you could keep a storyline going and go to my Twitter account if you want to hear.
And there you go,
Gene Okerlund back in the day.
That's just it.
900 number.
It's a useful tool for storyline purposes, but you shouldn't go on there to do stuff, you know, as a worker, and just be regular Joe Twitter update, you know?
Isn't that right, Kurt?
Cooking my eggs and watching the sunrise while drinking a coffee and reading the paper, you know? Gee, couldn't be any more mundane. Great, thanks.
And that's
good
why
to know
Johnny
you had a good
DeVine
bowel
does
movement this morning, superstar.
And that's why Johnny DeVine does not have Twitter, if you look him
exactly
up.
Exactly, you know, like, fucking shit needs to be kayfabed.
Yeah, speaking of that, I don't know if you want to answer this question or not, but we get email questions and chat room questions. Jersey Girl in our chat room, you've answered this before on the show, but she's new to the program. Could, if possible, back in 2004, there was an unfortunate incident with you and Andy Douglas of The Naturals. Could you paraphrase or pare it down as to what the heck happened? Because unfortunately, I know it and saw you pulling the staples out at the Stadium Inn. So explain
long story
to fans
short,
one of the horrible events that's happened in your career.
Long story short, Andy Douglas and I made a bad choice. Being harassed, driving down Main Street in Nashville, get into a fight in a parking lot with four guys, beat the hell out of them. One of them stabs both Andy and I, Andy in the leg, myself in the stomach twice, or myself in the stomach once, and in the chest. Tried to cut my throat a few times. End up with 72 staples in the stomach, all that kind of good stuff, my gallbladder and lower foot of my lower intestine removed. Died on the table, all that kind of mumbo-jumbo, you know, that old chestnut. But in truth, you know, a bad decision is what it comes down to, and if I could take it back, I would.
Yep, so there you go, Jersey, now that you can get, and yeah, she's typing, so glad he lived. I said, I'm really damn glad he lived, because the worst part was sitting at the stadium in after he's injured, and he's sitting there, and he's trying to pull the frickin' staples out of his stomach. I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Because I am smart like that.
He's like, the faster these come out, the better it is.
That's it.
Yep. In case you're still waiting, Becky Bayless will be joining us in a few minutes here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, so stay with us here as we talk with Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald and Hotshot Johnny DeVine. He is going to be a part of Canadian All-Pro Wrestling's event. It is this Saturday night at the Ross Carrick Community Center.
In Calgary.
4411 10th Avenue Southwest. And I asked you, you've never actually competed in this building, am I right?
No, this is a first time, first place, first time with the company. I guess it's their first show, so should be fun. See what kind of pace they can set and what kind of crew they put together. I'm interested in seeing some of the there's a few guys on these shows that I haven't heard of or seen, so I was like checking out new young talent.
I want to ask, because people, we mentioned you covered stuff for Fight Network, and you were part of the TNA roster, so you know the gentleman very well. The current TNA World Heavyweight Champion is Tennessee Cowboy James Storm. Sorry,
Cowboy.
He's Tennessee Cowboy. You can call him Cowboy all you want. He's Tennessee Cowboy, JB. Get it right. And I want to ask Jim this one as well. We talked about it earlier with Spug, and Spug is heading to the bed, so feel better. The Two Southern label was apparently rumored to be out of the Nashville offices about James Storm.
Again?
Johnny first and then the Jim. Give me a break, man. That's like saying Dusty Rhodes back in the day was too, you know, speaking what now I guess would be called Ebonics. I mean, you've been around him. He's living his gimmick. It's not a gimmick. That's James Storm.
Yeah. It's the best characters are the easiest to get into, obviously. And I mean, he doesn't have to stretch his acting wings to say the least with that character. So, it's unfortunate if they give him the Too Southern, because he really can be entertaining. I've seen some of his, I've worked the guy probably 30 or 40 times. I know what he's capable of. I know what Bobby Roode is capable of. Either or would be a great, world heavyweight champion for the long run. The problem here is that if the office, quote unquote, writers and bookers don't stick to their guns and flip flop because of, somebody's somewhere's opinion all of a sudden real quick, you know, they end up cheapening things like first title runs and such, and flipping the title back and forth and all of that kind of silliness. And it devalues what should be something that's supposed to be the most valuable prize in the game.
Yeah, I mean, and before Jim goes, Spug mentioned it before, friends weren't with us earlier, that the TNA World Heavyweight Championship has changed hands 8 times already this year, and we still got another couple of things. And he said, and we count, they talked about it on Wrestle Talk Radio on this network, which is heard Sundays at 10 o'clock. They said, I believe it's 4 on pay-per-view, 4 on live TV. I mean, Jim can remember back on the day, Ric Flair held the championship at least for a year, year and a half. This is a sport that Bruno Sammartino held the belt for 8 freaking years.
Exactly.
People holding it for 8 freaking seconds right now.
And that is part of the issue, again, with, pulling the curtain back and such. Like, the guys who write, or used to write, from what I understand, for most of these shows, at least WWE anyway, the guys who aren't in the wrestling business, they're the Hollywood writers and stuff like that, don't understand putting value on things like a title, right? And how to do it, and why it needs to be done, right? People respect Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre as some of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world because they've beaten multiple opponents now. They are, they've put prestige on those titles so that when people beat them now, it'll be a big deal. You know, that's the way it used to work in wrestling, too. But now it's like you see a title change at least once every couple of months somewhere.
I think what happens, too, is you have so much change. And like you mentioned, Johnny mentioned about the writers. When you have Hollywood writers coming in, Johnny, more than me, he's been in the ring. He knows. He respects the title. The wrestlers back in the day would respect the title. And I'm sure today they still respect the title. But the thing is, when you have people that aren't involved in that profession, and they hire Hollywood writers, TV writers to come in, well, yeah, they know about TV and they know how to put a script together, but they really don't know what they're writing about. They don't know the tradition, the history. All they're concerned about is getting that script, that story together for that week's show, and let's see how the ratings go. So they're not looking back and saying, oh, the great living legend Bruno Sammartino, how long he held the belt, and Harley Race, how long he did, and Ric Flair, and even Hulk Hogan held it for a long time. It doesn't go to that because of the the riders, the team they have in. Now, ultimately, there is somebody above those riders. So if that person or that group felt differently, they would go to them and say, well, we got to do this, and they're not. Speaking in terms of TNA and what they're doing, if that's true in what they're saying, because I still, there are a lot of times where people will be in a room together, group of people, and somebody will say something, and that'll get out. And it, when it was just, look, we could have a meeting right now. We could, all of us, are, we're talking right now, and we might say something. And it's really not something that's going to happen, but it might be just an idea, a thought we throw out there. Then all of a sudden it gets on the internet. Oh, look at what, oh, this is what got out. Oh, someone said that this person said this, and it blows it up more than actually what it was when it was said. Do I know if that happened with this situation? I don't know. But a lot of times that does happen nowadays because of this. But it's just funny, if that is true, well, gee, isn't Jeff Jarrett from the South? And didn't he hold the title? And isn't that his company, so to speak? And isn't Dixie from the South? And what is that?
Gotta,
what's the big deal there? And you, when you have...
think globally, not locally.
Well, when you have... And then, well, another thing is, too, when you have Bruce Pritchard coming in now, gives it a different feel. Is he saying that because he wants something different? Now you have also, don't forget, they just hired this new public relations person. Julia Wortman, who's has this big background, this big PR background, working with all these big companies, not having to do with wrestling at all, coming in. And what is she saying? What's her now heard? So she's a new one in the field, but she's been around for a while. Much respect they have for her. They bring her in. What does she say globally, saying, well, this isn't how you should do it because we need this image and we need this? So they're like, oh, we just hired her. Well, we've got to see what she's all about and what we could do here. So there's a lot of factors behind the scenes.
Yeah, it almost goes back into like when the NWA or the Mid-Atlantic folks went from being under the Crockett's to the Turner group, where they changed it specifically to WCW.
Yeah, right.
And it almost feels that way. Got another.
And then what happened with all the people in charge too, Alan? Remember all the Pizza Hut representatives, Ric Flair's line, at least. You'll have a pizza to go. You know, it's like because of some of the people they were hiring to just run. And even in some of the books I've read that different people have written back in the day about that, saying that nobody in Ted Turner's organization wanted wrestling, let alone wanted to run the wrestling. And it seemed like anyone they brought in that wasn't highly regarded or somebody that was in the company but didn't have much of a future. And I mean in Ted Turner's group, WCW, they would stick him over with the wrestling to run the wrestling show. Mm-hmm. And we saw how that worked out.
Yeah. Sure. The girl has another question for Johnny, and oh, this is gonna be a good one. Who, in your opinion, was the biggest prick to work with in TNA?
In TNA?
Yes, in TNA.
There weren't really that many big pricks. Like, you know, a lot of people, the first person they'll go to is Bully Ray. But I loved him, and he and I got along really, really well. Still love him to this day. I think he's tremendously entertaining. One of my least favorite guys to work with was DDP, or Sandman was always somebody I just never enjoyed working with at all.
And that was during the run when they were everybody from ECW was coming in to Nashville.
You know, and you had like people popping up here and there, like team DDP was when the Team Canada days, and Sandman came in some, I can't even remember when he came in at one point, but those are probably like my least two favorite big star names, you know, that I didn't enjoy working with.
I need to ask this because he was a former tag partner. Are you intimidated by Eric Young's beard? It's so intimidating. It has its own Twitter account now.
I actually believe his beard will one day bring him superpowers. It'll be like Chuck Norris-esque at one point. At some point, his beard will be able to stop a bullet.
Yeah, are you digging the character that he's got going? Because it's almost like when he had the whole, the pyro would go off and he'd drop dead and have a heart attack type thing. It's that Eric Young again as opposed to him being all serious and stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's to me, it's a step back for him. But he's so entertaining in the role that they put him in, it's hard for them to take him out of that. But he has so much more value in so many other ways that it's unfortunate if he gets pigeonholed into that one character. But at the same time, if I know him, he's the guy who will make it work forever, and it'll never be boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and unfortunately...
That's also like any TV show when you have a long-running program and the character works with that character, with that person, and then that person tries another TV show, and everyone's like, yeah, man, I'll watch it. Yeah, but it's not the same. He's not Kramer. He's not Ray Romano, or Everyone Loves Raymond, et cetera, et cetera. But, right, he's not that person. I feel like when you were mentioning that, listening to you talk about that, I first thing that popped in my mind was Santino Marella. Well, no matter how good Santino works, and I don't know how good he could work, but maybe he can, I don't know. But he's put in that comedic role and does such a great job at it, just like Eric Young puts it. Now, I've seen Eric in his wrestling. He can wrestle. The guy can wrestle. But it's just the point is, like you were saying, it's now you're stuck in that sort of persona, so I guess you just try to make the best out of it.
Well, and that's kind of all you can do when you're in that position. It becomes, okay, I'm stuck here. Like, for myself, I'll give you my example. Like, Paparazzi Productions, while I enjoyed working with Alex Shelley, obviously the role of lackey is something that I'm not all that fired up to be. So, while I was stuck there, I did everything in my power to be the best there that I could be, kind of thing, right? Just like everybody would do in that situation. And EY is that kind of guy that, like, if you're going to make him the comedy character, he'll be the funniest guy on the roster. If you're going to make him the serious character, he'll be the most over-serious guy on the roster. But you have to give him a chance to get over. If you don't give him that opportunity, then you'll never know what he's capable of doing. And at this point, they kind of half gave him the ball when they were doing that World Elite or something like that. Wasn't like whatever the stable was, the international stable. Mm-hmm. Well, he was the leader. And he was going to be the leader of it, and they started to give him an actual real strong push out of that, and I don't know what happened out of that, but it's unfortunate.
Well, tell me, wasn't that the time too? Then all of a sudden Hogan and Bischoff came in, and then everything changed.
Oh, that's right, exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
Homicide
that is
left.
That is what happened.
Left.
You're absolutely right.
Sorry, we don't need this guy's brother with the Nasty Boys new TV time.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, because that was great for Eric. Do you think, Johnny, even for yourself or for Eric, that even in this day and age, that it would have been a thing where you just leave and then hopefully come back in a year or two and do it like that rather than stick around? And it's just does it make it harder if you stay there to try to get out of it rather than if you leave and then hopefully be able to come back?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like for myself, I quit because I didn't want to get stuck in that pigeonholed lackey scenario, right? Like, I believe I'm more valuable than that. I believe Eric Young is more valuable than that. Everybody who hired me and gave me the job to do told me I was more valuable than that. But, when it all is said and done, it comes down to what are the writers going to write for you, because you can only do what you're given to do on TV, right? That's the bottom line is you're there to do a job. You're, eventually everybody's going to realize this, but all wrestlers are is paid actors and stuntmen, because we memorize scripts. We do pre-recorded, pre-rehearsed lines and stuff like that in a weekly primetime time slot. Why are we not like Friends or any of those other shows, right? We do the exact same job, only we do our own stunts.
And so, don't get the SAG benefits.
Yeah, exactly. But, I've gotten way off topic. But
Well, let me get you back on topic, because before we run out of time, because Becky Bayless is coming up soon, you mentioned that you wanted me to bring up Miami Beach. What's so great about Miami Beach, JP?
Here's the story is one time on a flight from Toronto down to Orlando for a taping, I sat next to George St. Pierre. and we struck up a friendship, and he invited me to come out to the pay-per-view that was going on in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was, I think it was Rampage and Chuck Liddell again or something like that. But anyway, me and Chase Stevens from the Naturals went down and hung out with George St. Pierre in Miami Beach. And to get to the point of that, where we were earlier in the conversation, I told him while we were on the flight, I said, look, you want to be the most money-making guy in MMA? Cut all your promos in French and be a heel. The U.S. fans will pay bank to watch somebody beat the crap out of you, but nobody can do it. So you want to make real money, be the heel. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm too respectful, you know? And I'm like, exactly. But that was my advice to George St. Pierre. And now we see how being a heel is working for guys like the Diazes, right? Like Josh Koscheck, you know, these guys are big money players because they're the bad guy. Like Brock Lesnar.
That happen. Yeah.
Remember what happened with Brock when he cut that promo, and then he ripped the sponsors too. But I mean, he went more wrestling promo. But right, if you didn't, like, who was it recently? Oh, geez, I wish you could. Just recently, there was someone that called out because Charles Barkley. I remember that part of it. I remember Barkley was sitting next to the guy. The guy won, and they were just asking him.
It was Silva, wasn't it?
Was it Silva? Was it Silva? Yeah, and he said, the guy said, what do you think of your fight tonight? Da, da, da. Instead of answering the fight, he goes, was it Silva that was in the crowd or was it Silva that won the fight?
Silva was in the audience.
Then he goes, Silva, you absolutely suck. And that was what he said. And I was like, whoa, that was Rock's line. Wait a minute, what's going on here? They played it on the radio a few times during the week. They were just... They loved the promo, so they were playing the radio, and I was just like, oh, wait, this is a wrestling promo he's doing right here.
That was Chael Sonnen.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've run out of time with this segment. Don't forget, it is the debut of Canadian All-Pro Wrestling this Saturday. The event is called Onslaught. You can go to CanadianAllPro.com. They'll give you all the matches and information there. You can find, if you're lucky enough, you can find Johnny Devine on Facebook. He does not tweet.
So I do not tweet.
Yeah, so if you find someone on Facebook that's saying they're him, no, and he will whip out his Havoc King stick and find you and beat you senseless. Don't forget, you can go to MiamiHerald.com. You can see everything that Jim Barcelone and Scott Fishman do. I believe you just had a second thing with Bret the Hitman Hart was posted like a couple days
ago.
Right,
Scott did one. The first one he did was on the DVD, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Rivalry DVD. And then the second interview, the second part of it, talking about WrestleMania since it's coming to Miami, talking about Miami and some of the background with Bret Hart. And it's a good read. I'm going to have something with Rey Mysterio updating a little bit about his injury. And then Rey is supposed to be coming to Miami for the big ticket kickoff party for WrestleMania on Friday night down here at Bayfront Park. So I'm hoping the knee can stand the trip, though, from California to South Florida. But him, some of the Divas, Jimmy Hart, and Sergeant Slaughter legends are going to be here for that event. So I did a phone interview with him, so I'll have something on that. And we'll, you know, just try to keep everyone posted with WrestleMania since before you know it, it'll be here.
And don't forget, Jim Barcelone will be back with us at another point here on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. Coming up after the break, former TNA Knockout and soon-to-be WSU returnee Becky Bayless is here on All I Will of Wrestling Radio.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as...
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer.
as well. News articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling developers today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry.
Candice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wonderman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you found a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Dun. The slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rules, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otuttle Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, everybody out there in wrestling land, this is the franchise Shane Douglas, three-time ECW, the real ECW World Heavyweight Champion. When you want the lowdown in professional wrestling, ain't no place else to go except right here, OWW Radio. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to my World of Wrestling Radio, part of the Wild Talk Radio Network and UltimateSportsTalk.com. And if you're joining us on Justin TV, thanks for doing that, because that's a Wild Talk Radio thing, not an OWW thing. This is the last week that we're going to be talking for a little bit about Crossfire Wrestling, also known as Crossfire Entertainment. Marcus Pistorius is one of promotion, based out of Nashville, and it is this Saturday night. I've been saying this for weeks. It's like, when's it going to be this Saturday? It's this Saturday. Saturday, November the 5th. Pre-show is 5:30. That's the VIP tickets that cost 15. General admission is 10. The doors for that open at 6:30. The actual bell time is 7:30. Now, if you do the VIP tickets, it's 15. You get to meet and greet with everybody that's on the show, plus there'll be some exclusive pre-show matches. Last week we had on the franchise Shane Douglas, former TNA star, ECW star, and we're lucky to have another former TNA star who's not only making her debut in Crossfire, but on November the 19th, I believe it is, she will be making her return to WSU. Rick Cataldo, you're going to get your ass kicked by our guest, Becky Bayless. Thanks for being here with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a nice little segue here. You get to promote both shows.
Absolutely. We're all about that. We're big fans of WSU, and we'll talk about them in a little bit. when you were first contacted about being part of this event, you're going to be a part of a mixed tag match with King Shane Williams taking on Abriella and Josephus. So when you look, when you go to the Crossfire website and you see your beautiful face next to these two opponents, you're just going, okay, how did, what made you say yes? Was it the idea that $2 of every ticket go to Make-A-Wish, or just the opportunity to actually get back in the ring?
A combination of both of those factors, and then including, you know, Marcus being a friend of mine, and also just wanting to get back out there and perform and do what I love, you know. So it doesn't matter to me who I'm wrestling against, if I'm balleting, what I'm doing. I just want to be out there doing what I love and entertaining the fans. But yes, of course, the fact that it's helping Make-A-Wish, that just makes it that much better. And me, I'm just that much prouder to be a part of it.
Yep. Is this your first time competing in Nashville, or have you been there before?
It actually is not, and it's not my first time at the fairgrounds. I had a tryout with TNA in 2003, I believe, managing Simon Diamond and Johnny Swinger.
Ah, the former NWA World Tag Champs when those belts were a part of the promotion. I want to remind fans, if you do live in Nashville and you want to come out and meet both Becky and Maria Kanellis, Thursday night at Red Rooster Bar Music Hall on the Mumbrian Street, they're going to have
possibly my favorite bar in Nashville as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting place. I lived up there from 01 to 02, and after some National Predator hockey games, we would go down to the country bars, my ex and I, and just my New Yorker butt walking in these bars going, oh yeah, I don't stick out at all, do I?
Oh no, my first night ever actually out in Nashville was spent at the Red Rooster. All I needed to hear was that there was a 12-foot Red Rooster in front of the bar, and I was like, that's where we're going. No questions asked. And of course, the rooster is, it's not like a statue, it's more like a parade float, so it's not sturdy by any means, but you know there was no way I was going to this bar and not riding the Red Rooster. That just wasn't happening. So thanks to David Young, I rode the Red Rooster.
And also Friday, she's going to be at Louie's Hula Hut, which is 217 2nd Avenue South, also down in that district. That is just Becky being there.
Actually, I think that that appearance might be off.
Uh-oh.
I believe the bar was having some kind of problem, so that means probably me and Maria will be out and about on the streets of Nashville. So if you hit the scene, you might run into us. You never know.
Go to Tootsie's Orchid Lounge and wander in. You never know.
But that's if you guys survive the pre-party at Red Rooster, because, I mean, between me and Maria, we like to have fun. And, you know, she's an absolute sweetheart, and I'm just so excited to be doing all this stuff with her. So...
Now,
it's gonna be good
Is this your first time working with Make-A-Wish, or have you done other charity stuff over the last few years in your career?
This is my first time specifically working with Make-A-Wish. I've done other charity shows, but of course Make-A-Wish is one of the most well-known charities, and they just do so much great stuff. And I know, you know, I just respect so much, you know, all the stuff that John Cena's done with them, and I know CM Punk does a lot with them too, and it's just such a wonderful charity. Like, anything to help children, I just, you know, I'm just so proud to be a part of it and to help in any way that I can.
Let's go into, we'll talk about some TNA stuff, because we did get some emails from folks. First email question comes from LaVonda Bell of Nashville, Tennessee, that says, hey, Becky, really?
Oh, you're from Nashville. I better see you at the show. You better come introduce yourself.
Hey, you never know. She might. She says, I knew of Rob Echoes from seeing his YouTube videos. How well did you know Robbie before they paired you two in the Shore? And what was your initial reaction when TNA pitched the idea to you?
Well, the funny thing is Rob and I had both been on the Northeast Independent scene for several years, but we'd only met maybe two or three times. We'd maybe been on or three shows together and just, you know, met briefly, like, hi, how are you? So I did not know him at all. And the, you know, the first time I actually spent any time with him was at my tryout when, you know, they wanted to see how I fit with the gimmick. And, yeah, we just kind of went from there. I guess we were very lucky. You know, we had immediate chemistry as far as, you know, being a team. And, it's, you know, we lucked out.
Were you apprehensive at all? I mean, you are born and raised in the Northeast. You're from New York, if I remember right. Me and a native New Yorker, we've had Alicia on the show, and we talked about the whole Jersey Shore phenomenon that it is, and people that can go to Kayfabe Commentaries and see Danny Doring's recent YouTube interview. He ripped the show to shreds. How much did you, were you sitting there going, oh God, they really want me to make fun of that little Snooki Pelosi chick? Or did you go,
well,
or did you look at it the other way and go, it's a challenge. I can accept this. I'm anything.
I was actually incredibly excited about it because I am actually a huge fan of the show.
Oh, cool.
So I was super excited about it. And then on top of that, for any of the listeners that are familiar with Wrestlicious, I was portraying a character named Brooklyn, which, by the way, is my favorite name that I've ever had in all of wrestling. But I think
really?
It's perfect. Yes, I was portraying a character, Brooklyn, which basically I was exactly what Cookie was, except they billed me from New York instead of New Jersey. So it was a character that I was very familiar with, and I came in being a fan of the show. And I was just so excited to have an opportunity finally, you know, like, you know, those of us that get into wrestling, you know, through the independents, we all just hope, you know, that one day someone will see our work and give us, you know, an opportunity to show what we can do. And I was just very excited to have an opportunity.
If I read your bio right on the Online World of Wrestling website, around November of 2009, you had a WWE tryout. Is that true?
Yes, yeah, that was one of my WWE tryouts.
Can you compare the two situations? What main differences are there in the WWE tryout situation at a Raw or SmackDown as opposed to what you went through down at TNA at the Impact Zone?
Well, with TNA, they had me in mind for that particular character. So they put me out there, you know, to have a dark match portraying that character and to see how I messed with Rob. So, it, you know, they called me with that particular character in mind. With WWE, they were more interested in taking a look at me. So it was more of a, you know, going to TV, you know, working out in the ring, doing promos, meeting with members of the office. So it was not so much of, you know, it was just, it was different as far as I went in with TNA having this idea for me already, and with WWE, I was one of several people there that they were taking a look at.
Who actually approached you from TNA? Is it Terry Taylor that does it? Is it some one of their scouting people? Who actually makes the call to you and says,
well,
we'd like
at
to
the time, at the time, D'Lo Brown was, I believe he still is. He's part of the talent relations department, and he's in charge of scouting new talent. So he contacted me, and Jimmy Hart also, was when Jimmy Hart was still with TNA, and Jimmy Hart, who has helped me so much in my career, and it's just been just an amazing, like, just positive influence and just so supportive of me. And he called me and told me more about, after I spoke with D'Lo, he called me and told me more about the character and just that he really believed this was the right step for me, and I trust Jimmy wholeheartedly. So, you know, it was D'Lo and Jimmy Hart that called me.
How much was on the paper in front of you and Robbie doing this character that Russo and whoever else is involved in creative gave you, and how much did they say to you, okay, go on, feel, we trust you, we've seen your promos in WSU and other places?
Well, in the very beginning, the promos were word for word. And the thing was, for me and Rob both, it was our first experience with television. And when you compare working the indies to working a nationally televised television program, it is a whole new world. I'm not going to lie, that first day that we debuted, which was actually on a live Impact, I felt like it was my first day in wrestling. It was just a whole new world. I honestly felt like I had never done this before because it's just so different of a world. And I think that's, you know, one thing that at least that WWE does right with FCW is that they train their talent to specifically work for TV. And in my experience on the indies, the only company that I worked for that really worked with their talent to train them for TV was Offa's WXW. You know, Offa really, whenever I would work his shows, he would really work with me, you know, how to work towards the hard cam and how to work for TV. And that's not really emphasized anywhere else on the indies. So other than that experience with Offa and time I had spent in FCW, when I had a tryout at FCW, those were my only experiences learning how to work for TV. So I felt like it was my first day.
Would you have liked to have had that? Would you and Robbie like to have had maybe a month of sitting somewhere, 3 weeks sitting somewhere, doing the vignette? Because all they showed were bumpers saying the shore is coming, the shore is coming. Would you have liked to have had that kind of time? I mean, before you got
definitely.
To actually walk out there on November, on October 7th and when you debuted at Bound for Glory, how much interaction did you and Rob even were given? Or was it just that day? Hey, Rob. Hey, Beck. All right, let's go.
Well, we had, you know, we had that tryout match, which I, he was hired 2 weeks before me. Mm-hmm. And then we had my tryout match, or my tryout where I managed him, was in mid-August. And then I signed my contract after that. And then thankfully they put us, on the Northeast House Show loop the week before our debut. So we would just get a little bit more experience working with each other. Before we debuted on TV, but as far as working for television, you know, that was kind of a learn as you go process. But yeah, I mean, I do think it's something that would benefit anybody who's going from the independents to television, because like I said, it really, for me at least, it feels like your first day all over again, because it's just a different world.
Becky Bayless joining in here on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. You can follow her on Twitter at @Becky_Bayless. You made the headlines soon after Bound for Glory in the 10-10-10 where you guys attacked Jay Lethal, where you were involved with a very well publicized, JWoww, Jen Farley, whatever her name is, and, a lot of wrestling, living down here in Tampa. I have a lot of friends that are in the business, that are ladies in the business, and when you did the skit, the first thing all of them were sitting there was going, if she doesn't have a grade 2 concussion after this, we don't know what happened. Were you freaking out at all when she's grabbing you by the hair and flailing you into that canvas and not protecting your head at all? Did you have any words with her after it, or did she apologize?
Well, I don't mean to expose the business too much in saying this, but that was all me. I told her to hold on to my hair and just let me bang my own head, and she listened to direction. You know, for someone who's never ever done this before, you know, she arrived at the impact zone at about 5:30, so I had about an hour and a half to kind of teach her everything she needed to know and, you know, show her how to do a few things. And, you know, she listened to me in the ring, and that was all I knew that this is only my second time on Impact, you know, my third time appearing, you know, on TNA television. And I was hoping that it would get a lot of publicity for the company and a lot of exposure for the company. And it ended up getting more exposure than I ever dreamed of. So I wanted to make sure that I made it look as good as possible. And I was absolutely fine afterwards.
Nicole Eberstein of Columbia, South Carolina wants to know, saw your thing with JWoww and immediately said, okay, when are they going to show up on Jersey Shore? Was there ever a point that YouTube maybe said that even Farley or any of the others that you interacted with that said, you know, it would be funny to have you guys just like invade our house type thing? Was that ever anything?
I would have loved that. And, you know, MTV, you know, does, at least at that time, they were doing, like, you know, specials just on the Jersey Shore. And I think it would have been great for us to appear on one of those. And I was hoping, you know, since MTV is also owned by Viacom, that would end up coming to fruition. But unfortunately, it never did. But I do have to say, I watched the Snooki True Hollywood Story on E! A few months back, and I was a little upset because they were showing, like, the different, like, how Snooki's just really become, like, a pop culture figure. So they kind of showed how she got mocked in pop culture, and they showed a Saturday Night Live skit about her, and they showed the infamous South Park Snooki gnome. And I was hoping, you know, maybe Cookie would make an appearance on those Snooki caricatures, but no, unfortunately, I did not make the E! True Hollywood Story. Though I did make E! News after the Day Wow situation, so that I felt was quite an accomplishment.
Did you ever hear from Pelosi herself in any way? Did anyone ever contact you going, okay, I'm flattered, or okay, I'm insulted?
No, but actually a fan told me several months back that they were watching Cake Boss, the TV show Cake Boss, which I've never seen, but I hear it's about a store that makes cakes, and she was a guest, and the baker said something to her, Snooki, I'm sorry, I don't want you to put me in a headlock. And she said, no, that's Cookie, that's not me. And when they told me that, I was like, what? I thought it was hilarious. And of course, with her and JWoww, you know, being legitimate best friends, you know, I figured she heard something about it. But yeah, I always say I would love to meet her and just, if anything, give her a big hug, because her being her, she's the reason I got my first break. So I got nothing but love for Snooki.
Were either you or Robbie surprised at Turning Point when they said, all right, guess what? You're going to be the X Division champion. You're taking out Jay Lethal.
I don't know if it was surprised just as much as excited, because we were just thrilled that the company was behind us so much and wanted, you know, to give us that opportunity. And, you know, we were just very excited, and still we were just so new that it was, and it was just all very new, and we're just still getting adjusted to it. But yeah, it was just more excitement. We just wanted to, you know, at all times just perform the best we could and entertain as best we could.
Mike Liguori of Tampa, Florida says, I watched Final Resolution 2010 and couldn't feel anything but sad for you being locked in a cage above the ring. Wants to know, do you have a fear of heights, or were you fine being up there?
No,
you do, really?
I have a definite fear of heights. And at first, let me tell you something. When they first told me they were doing this cooking in a cage thing, I was a little scared, because I was like, I don't want some Universal employee being the one hoisting me up in the air. You know, like, I was like, well, if this is the way I die, at least I go out, you know, with a bang. But, actually they brought in a professional who, he works a lot on concerts. He works with Kid Rock and Aerosmith, like doing that, those sort of, basically an expert in those sort of,
Oh, it was an expert, like a rigging expert.
Exactly. So before anybody got there, and really before a lot of the talent got there, they didn't want me to be, you know, too nervous. So they wanted to let me go up in the cage, you know, before really anyone got there, and just see how it would feel. And it really was not there. Like, it was hanging on two chains, so I really couldn't move around that much, because the cage would be very unsturdy. So it ended up working out really well, because I ended up crouched down for most of the match, which made it easier for me to yell obnoxious things at Jay Lethal and yell encouragement at Robbie. But at the same time, the closer I was to the ground, the sturdier the cage stayed.
It almost flashes back to people like Jim Cornette getting hung up there during the original Clash of Champions, and I think they've done that. I'm just sitting there watching this pay-per-view, and I'm going, poor Becky, and now that I know that you're afraid of heights, I'm really feeling bad for you.
Oh, no, I was just excited to do it, because, I mean, it is such an old-school, you know, concept, but also on top of that, it really you know, I love being a valet. I love being a manager, and I really feel like, you know, it's a lost art being a manager, and an effective manager or valet can really add to, you know, a character, and can really help, you know, bring a character to another level. And it really made me feel great that, as far as the job that I was doing, that I was that much part of the storyline with him in Jay Lethal, that it would come to that, to me being in the cage. So I mean, even with my fear of heights, I was really excited about it.
Unfortunately, Robbie's title reign ended on the December 16th Impact, where Jay recaptured the championship and Christy Hemme got involved. Was there a plan of any way that you two were going to have a feud of some kind, or was it just a one-time thing and was never going to be resolved in your mind?
Well, I mean, Christy's wrestling days are over. She, you know, she has a neck injury. I don't know if there were further plans. I was hoping, because I had a lot of fun even doing, you know, the verbal war with Christy, and I think she could have been a great manager for Jay. And I do feel that the feud was ended a little bit prematurely. I feel like there was a lot more we could have done with it. You know, that's my only, because I just feel like it kind of ended prematurely, and we were having some, you know, I've known Jay since I started. We came up on the Northeast Indies together. I managed him in Ring of Honor. You know, I know his whole family. Worked together in Jersey All Pro, just about everywhere in the Northeast. You know, I have much love for Jay Lethal and had a blast working with him. You know, so I was pretty bummed when the feud ended, especially because I felt like we had a lot more to offer that we could have done.
Once they took the belt off of him, it almost seemed like, okay, he's working this guy, but then he's working that guy, and it just seemed like you guys were never really locked in anywhere. You had, he wrestled Kazarian against All Odds in February, but mm-hmm. after that, it almost seemed like you two were characters in limbo.
I was really excited when Tracy came back.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
My understanding was that we were going to be, it was going to be me and Robbie feuding with Tracy and Kaz and doing mixed tags and doing that sort of thing. So I was really excited about that, especially because I have a blast every time I work with Tracy, and, you know, and I just love working with her, and I just think it could have been something different, like having a mixed tag feud, you know, and it could have been something a lot of fun. And that got cut short because then Angelina from Jersey Shore came in and we went with that. And then it just kind of never got picked up again after the Angelina thing.
Yeah, there were rumors about that whole night that she showed up inebriated. She didn't. Can you give us some insight into that?
No, that's not true at all. She was not inebriated.
Okay, because that was like one of the things we heard, and we did the show that Tuesday night right after it, and it was like, oh, we heard this, we heard that, and I'm like, I'm not going to speculate.
That's why you can't trust what you read on the internet. That's why, boys and girls.
Yes, unless you hear it on our show, then it's false. If you heard it here, then yes, it's true. Got an email from John Bulis of Orlando. It says, I was at Victory Road and got to see the Ultimate X match that Kaz defeated Robbie E. and the Bucks. And were you having as much fun standing at ringside watching that as it looked, or were you just going, never in a million years am I going to climb on that thing?
Well, I very much enjoy the Ultimate X match. The guys in it always show a ton of athleticism. But truth be told, I do not have the upper body strength to really effectively compete in an Ultimate next match. So maybe I could compete in it, but there would be probably zero chance of me winning. Unless, of course, I brought a ladder into play. But, so never say never, because, you know, I do like to cheat. So.
There's nothing wrong with that. As Jesse Ventura once said, it ain't cheating unless you get caught.
But I have to say, you know, being, you know, a valet, those Ultimate X matches were, you know, normally I don't legitimately, I mean, always one's health is in you know, jeopardy just stepping in the ring because accidents happen all the time. But those Ultimate X matches, put it this way, I didn't have to work very hard to put over the action in the ring. My reactions were legitimate to what was going on in the ring.
Was there ever a plan to have you in the knockouts division, or was it always you're going to be with Robbie? Because it seemed like when they did the split with you two, that's where it was going to go. Robbie was going to go off with whatever, and now he's running around with Big Rob Terry. And it was like, okay, is this where Becky / Cookie is going to get her knockouts debut? Was that something that was coming, or how did
my understanding was that was the plan. I spent a few months working out at the Dudley School in Orlando when I wasn't on the road. And I was, working out whenever I could at TVs, with, Sarita helped me a ton, Winter, helped me a ton, Hector Guerrero actually was just an amazing help. You know, I was really, working on getting my wrestling up to par, and that was my understanding, but I would be competing in the knockouts division eventually. And who knows, maybe that's in the future. I hope it is.
Some fans in the Florida area also sent me notes saying, ask her about the YRR. And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll ask. Did you dig being an FIP with that gimmick? Cause Kenny kind of took it and turned it into the All Night Express and ROH. But at one point,
it's funny that you say that, because Kenny is a really good friend of mine. And I always joke with him that, if I were to come back to Ring of Honor, where else do I belong but in the All Night Express? But, I mean, I've had a lot of fun with every gimmick that I've done, because I'm always able to put my own twist on the characters, I had a blast looking for FIP, and, Kenny is a great friend of mine, and it wasn't that different than the Special K character that I did in Ring of Honor, and who knows, maybe it'll evolve to me being an All Night Expresser. Who knows what the future has to bring.
As we mentioned, you're going to be making your re-debut, which is, it's really, I hate the phrase, it's a re-debut. Like, no, she's returning. You're returning to WSU, for the iPay-per-view event, which I think is called Breaking Barriers 2.
Yeah.
Which fans can go to gofightlive.tv and you can find out, the ordering instructions. That's Saturday, November the 19th. It's been a while since you've been here. Is this always been, because we talked to people like Jessica Havoc and Mercedes Martinez, Alicia's been here, Angel Orsini's been here. Do you consider WSU like a home promotion if you had
put
it on a resume?
Definitely. I've had a ton of opportunities in WSU. A lot of places that I've worked, I've worked mostly as a valet, with occasional mixed tag matches, or, my last stint with Ring of Honor was as a backstage interviewer. And I love those roles, but I like to be as well-rounded of a performer as I can be. I kind of just like to have that to offer to show that I can do it all. And WSU is the company that really has given me the ball, as far as wrestling has gone. And, I had probably like my best matches I've had in my career with Alicia. We had a feud over several months. And she also happens to be one of my best friends in real life. So, and when I was just returning to wrestling after a 2.5 year hiatus, I was coming back into that feud with her, and, she was training with me and helping me every step of the way. And, I love that girl. But yeah, Sean McCafferty has given me a ton of opportunities there to really just step up my game and show what I have to do, what I am capable of, as a wrestler, and just really put a ton of faith in me and given me a lot of opportunities. And I really appreciate that. And I'm glad to see that WSU just, continues to grow and continues to get more exposure. And it's great for all the girls in that company just work their asses off. It's really like one of the hardest working locker rooms I've ever seen. Everybody goes out there and works their matches like it's WrestleMania. Like, I actually attended a show a couple months back. I happened to be in town, and Serena Deeb is one of my best friends, and she had a match, so I wanted, you know, to see her wrestle, and I have a lot of friends in the company, obviously, so I just went to support them and watch the show, and I was just blown away. Just everyone just works so hard. There's not one girl there that phones it in.
Yeah, unfortunately, you've been gone for a little while, so the landscape has changed. your champ is still Mercedes Martinez. Did you ever think all these months later that she would still have the championship, or did you think someone's going to knock her off at some point?
Oh, I think Mercedes is one of the best female workers in the country. I have the utmost respect for her. I've wrestled her a few times. Actually, I think probably my fourth or fifth match was with her. And she is just so great to work with. And I just think her, I'm a fan of hers, and I enjoy watching her matches, you know, and I'm not surprised in the least. And I think she's got a ton to offer, and I think she's a great champion.
She's had some recent challenges, from several folks at the last, pay-per-view event and the anniversary show. She had, surprisingly, her biggest enemy is now a bud in Brittany Savage, and she's gonna be a part of a trio with people who have called her the icon of WSU and Alicia. For someone that's been a part of this organization for years, are you sitting there going, okay, that's gotta be the wackiest threesome I've ever heard of for a tag team? Or are you thinking, this is probably the best tag team I've ever seen in WSU history?
It's definitely a wacky threesome for a tag team. But hey, sometimes opposites attract. I managed Necro Butcher on a show once, and it ended up working perfectly. So, hey, who's to say?
There is a new faction in this promotion, and they will possibly be visiting here in the next couple weeks, and that is the Midwest Militia, which is the Spirit Champion, Jessica Havoc, who is a big fave of our show. And her partners, Allison Kay and Sassy Stephanie. Have you ever interacted with these three? Because every time we had Jessica on, she's very aggressive and wants to kick people in the face all the time.
Well, aggression is not necessarily a bad thing in wrestling. It's not ballet. I'm actually pretty good friends with Sassy Stephanie. She's a sweetheart of a girl, and I think she's great in the ring too. I'm not very familiar. I don't think I've ever met Allison, and I'm not as familiar with Jessica Havoc, but I do know Sassy Steffi can get it done. So if she's hanging with them, they have to have something going for them.
Initial reaction when you heard that Primetime Amy Lee was leaving the ring and now is the commissioner of this promotion, do you think she can get the job done? I mean, I'm not slighting Amy at all. She's a wonderful person. And I'm scared to death of her.
As a commissioner, I don't think there's anyone better to be running shit than Amy Lee, because who's going to question her authority?
This pay-per-view, you mentioned Serena. This pay-per-view was supposed to see the first-time matchup of Melina versus Serena, and due to a concussion, she's not going to be able to compete in this event, and we send our heartfelt wishes out to her. We had a blast when she was here with us. Your name bantered about maybe to step up and take on Melina. Do you think your game is that good that you can go against the former WWE World Champion?
Oh, I love the opportunity. I take all comers. You know, I'm very aware that especially, you know, most fans or most people listening may only be familiar with the work I've done in TNA. And as grateful as I am for the opportunity that I had there, because it gave me so much exposure, I was only able to show about 10% of what I can do. And I jump at any opportunity to show the world what I'm made of. And it would be honest. I mean, to be quite honest, I've been a fan of Melina's, you know, for several years. I've always enjoyed her work and enjoyed watching her. I I think she's a great character. I've enjoyed her in-ring work. I like how she's always trying to, you know, innovate and try new things instead of just staying with what's comfortable. And you, she's someone who, when you watch her perform, you can see that her heart isn't at 100%. And I'd jump at the opportunity.
Is there anyone on Becky Bayless's career bucket list that I want to be in the ring with that person at some point in my career before I retire?
Oh, definitely. I would love to work Sarah Del Rey. I've never had the opportunity to work her. I think she is on like that level with Mercedes as being one of the best females around. I would just love the opportunity to work her. And Beth Phoenix is also another one who's always been on the list of someone I'd love to work with.
Our normal Spug is normally here, but since this is a pre-taped session, he is at work. So I get to ask the one question that he loves to ask everybody.
All right, let's hear it. I'll
preface this by saying we've had BG James put his own urine in a bottle of hot stuff and have the late British Bulldog and Lex Luger use it for 2 weeks. We had Jay Lethal witness, no, it was Roderick Strong that did it. I'm sorry, Roderick Strong witnessed, the Briscoe brothers having to wrestle in a ring with their own urine on them. We've seen Al Snow put Val Venus's cell phone, personal cell phone number on a flyer. What's the best rib that Becky Bayless has either been a part of pulling on someone, her head pulled on her, or you were just this person sitting there with your popcorn going, this is going to be fun?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm not going to expose the victim of the rib,
okay,
but I was a co-conspirator in it. I was traveling with Tara Victoria on a house show leave. We were traveling with another member of the TNA roster, and this happened to be a loop, a Kentucky, Tennessee loop. And she was living in Louisville at the time. So the last day of the loop, the last night of the loop rather. And, since Tara was living in Louisville at the time, she rode back to Louisville with Al Snow, who was the road agent for the loop, but not without leaving a fake parking ticket, which she bought at Spencer's Gifts. And the penalties on the parking ticket were basically just too ugly to drive, too dumb to operate a motor vehicle, or too illiterate to read a stop sign. Stupid stuff like that. But it looked like a real parking ticket. Like, it just, it did. And the member of the TNA roster, who shall remain unnamed, saw the parking ticket, picked it up, and flew into a rage and went storming back into the arena, legitimately ready to punch the nearest security guard in the face. And
oh,
this person happens to have very long legs, and I happen to be 5'2", and I was wearing heels at the time, so I am running after this particularly tall person, trying to yell, it's a joke, it's a rib, don't kill anybody. But I'm also laughing so hard that I can barely get the words out. And luckily I was able to catch him before any bodily harm was done to any innocent security members of that particular venue. And he had me text Tara once we got back in the car and tell her that he punched out a security guard and the cops were on the way. And
she
texted me back with, don't work a worker. So traveling with Tara was always is a good time. I mean, she is one of my favorite people, and she helped me since day one at TNA. Like, she just really just put herself out there. And I'm sorry, actually, I left her off my list of people that I would love to work. And I actually pitched an idea to feud with her. But, yeah, she is hilarious. And I always say, if God gave me a crystal ball and, you know, said, what will I be in 10 years? I would see Lisa. I mean, Tara. So, yeah, that was a particularly, that one sticks out as one of my favorites.
We are unfortunately against it, fans. Becky has to go. I want to let you know that Saturday, November the 19th, WSU goes live on iPay-Per-View with Breaking Barriers 2. It's not in the normal venue. You're gonna have to, if you live in the New York City area, your butt's gonna have to get on the railroad and huff it out to Deer Park. It's the NYWC Sportatorium, 435-13 Brook Avenue in Deer Park. You can go to WSUWrestling.com for that event.
I believe actually, and also I believe Sean is in the process of trying to set up, some kind of shuttle service from the Long Island Railroad to the show. And as someone who took Long Island Railroad to school every day when I was in college, it's a very comfortable, relaxing ride. So there's no excuse for not, you know, getting out there.
Yeah, as a St. John, Long Island resident to a St. and had a commute to St. John's, I know it's a good ride. It was a lot of fun. Don't forget, it's this weekend, as we updated at the front of this, Thursday night, the Red Rooster. You may end up seeing Becky try to take the Red Rooster home with her.
No, I may ride that thing down the streets of Nashville if I can do it. I may need David Young to push me, but hey, it could happen. But I mean, really, me and Maria are going to be there. What more do you need?
I can see her going up and down Broadway, trying to cross over to the LP Field, going like, "Come on, the Rooster, let's go."
Maybe I'll ride the Rooster down to the TNA offices. And
there you go. It is.
Say hi. hey guys, what's going on?
It is this Saturday, November the 5th. The VIP pre-show is at 5:30. Doors are 6:30. Bell time is 7:30. Get tickets, get all the info at crossfirellc.vze.com. This Wednesday, each and every Wednesday, 9 o'clock Eastern, unless Spug and Omega are busy, is OTL, Talk Talk Live. You can visit the Wild Talk Radio Network website to find out what they'll be talking about. This Saturday, yes, there should be like fans standing and pyro behind me, is the 200th episode. That's right, 200 episode of E-Radio this Saturday, midnight-ish. Sir Rockin will be there. Rob Parks will be there. Subway will be there. You never know, honestly, who's going to be there. It's a 200th episode, so who knows? This past Sunday, due to the fun weather of the Northeast, Justin Credible was not able to be a part of Wrestle Talk Radio, but check with wildtalkradio.com. That will be updated in the next few days. They're going to try to get back with Justin. He's got an interactive YouTube and other events that you can check out. This coming Tuesday night, we will have some stars from WSU on. It may be the Midwest Militia. Sorry, tongue-tied there. It may be Team WSU, to be honest with you. We're still trying to iron out the schedules there. So you can follow me on Twitter at my name is Wojcik, or you can check the Online World of Wrestling Radio Facebook page. Thanks to Hotshot Johnny Devine for being here with us. He's going to be a part of Canadian All-Pros debut event. It is this Saturday. Go to CanadianAllPro.com, all one word, no spaces, to check out the full lineup, ticket info, and everything. Thanks to Becky Bayless. She's Becky_Bayless on Twitter. She's going to be a part of that big event this Saturday. If you live anywhere in Tennessee, Kentucky, even Indiana, Ohio, get your ass in a car. Go to this event for Crossfire Wrestling. It's going to be huge. They've already set up stuff for an event in January. So go to crossfirellc.vze.com. Thanks to everybody for being a part of this program. I'm Al Wojcik, and my show's better than yours, bitch.
TalkRadio.com.